Hey everybody, welcome. It's the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast, and this is episode number 67. And today, it is your host, Mario and Brian. Mario, what's going on?
Got to yurt, man.
Got to yurt.
Not much. We're wound up today. We had a fun little happy hour. We're getting ready for the show, and we're pretty excited.
We got some
good stuff coming up.
Yeah, we're going to be honest. We're coming in a little bit hot today. It was kind of a long, happy hour, which is lasted until about 11:30, which it is right now.
It kind of got away from us there, I got to say. You know, started at like 6 o'clock and kind of developed into a happy hour plus.
Yeah, we actually designated it Fat Fuck Friday because we ate at least two places and then we stopped for ice cream. Like, yeah, we were on a high school date, apparently.
We ate a shit ton of stuff.
Oh, my God. So we started out with sushi.
It was happy hour sushi. So half price sushi, good one.
Gyozas.
God damn.
Sushi. Then we got pizza.
Then we got pizza.
Pulled pork tacos.
Yeah.
And I put down a whole goddamn pint of Ben & Jerry's.
I ate like a king cone and a freaking toasted almond or a strawberry shortcake bar. It was pretty rough. Yeah. And then I washed it down with a Monster, so energy drink, so I'm good.
I'm pretty embarrassed about how much I ate, but I also don't really care because I just don't. It was so good.
We had some good beers though.
We had very good beers, yeah.
Was it Kane Head High?
Head High, yeah. Jersey beer.
Jersey beer.
We had the one from Firestone Walker.
That was good.
It had two words.
It was the delirium. No,
it was something like that. Yeah, it was
the hypnotic.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it was good. It was an IPA. It was like a lighter one. It had some funky, weird name, and I'm going to look it up. Oh, Luponic Distortion.
That's what it is.
There you go. Yeah, very good.
Very good.
And then there was the other one that we had. Oh, I'd say like a Rebel IPA.
Rebel IPA.
Yeah. So, but we'll get to that part when we get to that part of the podcast. Yeah. That's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves right now.
Get a little ahead of ourselves.
But thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Check us out for all of our information, skibumpodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast. Thank you guys for following us. We got a lot of followers now and a lot of love on all of our pictures. So
thank you
so much and keep following, and we're going to keep posting cool pictures. And also on Pinterest, so we've been kind of slacking on that, but we're still putting stuff out there. Pinterest.com and look for Highfalutins, and that is us. And if you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app, whether it's the iTunes app or Stitcher or Overcast or whatever else the cool new kids are using today for downloading their podcast, please subscribe. Go there, rate us. We'd really appreciate it. So thank you.
And now?
It's time. Yeah, pray today.
I pray today. We prayed a lot.
We've been praying for about 6 hours already. So this is almost an afterthought, an aftersight.
I like the idea that it's just kind of continuing on. It's rolling. So our opera today wasn't like one opera. It's like a multiple opera. So just saying, like, you have your first opera, your second opera, and your final opera.
It was more like an apparade.
A parade. I like it.
You know, the parade keeps going.
A parade today.
A parade today. So
what do you got going for your opera?
I don't even know what this is. So this is some sort of weird pink color. Oh, it's like Monster juice? Monster energy drink juice?
It was pink in a pink can to support breast cancer. So we're like, yeah, let's just get some of these.
Am I going to get breast cancer from this drink?
No. It'll cure breast cancer. So you get, yeah. That's perfect. Why it's in the pink can. It's cure.
Yeah. So I'm drinking this. I'm drinking coffee and also this Monster pink.
Fucking
a little bit of. Is it Ed Hardy vodka? Like, where did you like? Did we go to the Goodwill liquor store and find this? Like, where the hell?
It's like remainder liquor, man. It's horrible.
They were at a pop-off, so we found the Ed Hardy vodka.
And that shit stacked away. Like, my ex-wife wanted it. And I was like, yeah, I really don't ever want to drink this, so.
There are real bits of Ed Hardy in it.
Broke it out now.
You know it's good.
You're going to get a tattoo after you drink that.
Oh, my God. I'm going to get a Monster tattoo. A Monster on my forearm right here.
Nice. That'll be great.
Yeah, this is it's got an interesting flavor. It tastes almost like every flavor of Kool-Aid ever put together.
So we'll call that a Monster Energy Bash. How about that?
Oh, I don't even know. There's just I can already smell the dump I'm going to take tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
It's just, it's going to melt the porcelain. So,
all right. That's a good one.
So, Monster. Wawawiwa.
Wawawiwa. All right. So, my final apres today for me is a It is a real apres drink. It's coffee with a little bit of Frangelico.
Look at you. What a sophisticated gentleman.
So I figured, you know, it kind of wakes you and puts you out. Like, it's just kind of messing with my body, which is great. This is also after having Monster Energy drink. And about 3 or 4 Cane Head Highs, which were really good. So if you want to talk about beer, Cane Head High, very good hoppiness. Not too bitter. Really good tasting
little
beer.
Citrusy. Yeah, it was nice.
A little citrusy. Really nice.
I believe that that coffee with the Frangelico with Bill Cosby gave some of his his sleepover pals. Minus the extra little bit of goodness that the good Dr. Huxtable put in there.
I'm feeling a little tired.
Apparently it's working.
It's working.
It's kicking in.
Yeah, what was the other beer? So the other beer, the Lupanic
Distortion.
That was a little bit milder than the Cane Head High. So the Cane Head High I would put into a category of a not so bitter, very good tasting, very hoppy IPA.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was reaching up to like the higher IPAs. It wasn't a double, it was a single, it was pretty good. And then the Lupanic was it tasted lighter, right?
It's very light. It's only got 59 IBUs, 5.9%. They don't talk about what kind of hops they use specifically, but it was, yeah, it's got a tasty IPA flavor, but it's very light and drinkable.
Yeah.
Which was, it was good. I've had it a couple times already now, and it's a tasty drink.
It's like an entry IPA.
Sort of, yeah. If you're not a super big IPA fan, you could definitely drink this and like it.
The converter. We call it the converter.
It's a converter, yeah. I can see that. It's duff.
So that's good. So, you know, I think that wraps up in a short summary the few hours that we've had at Opry today. So
it's been a journey, folks.
Fat Fuck Friday continues.
Fat Fuck Friday. Hey.
And next we have.
There it is. That's the Frank's Bean of the Week music.
Frank and Beans.
So, yeah, so this week. So, I don't know where you guys are listening from right now, but in our area in the Northeast, it's been a bizarrely warm week. Obnoxiously warm. And,
yeah, like 83, 85 degrees.
It was
crazy.
Hot. Like, it was August weather in October.
I hung out at a downtown New York City rooftop on Tuesday, and I was sweating.
Nope.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was extremely frustrating. So, Frank, thank you so much for your selection. It was very topical. It is the Alaskan Thunder Fuck.
It's like Thundercats, but Thunder Fuck.
It's like Thunderstruck, like AC/DC.
Thunderstruck, yeah, Thunder Fuck.
But in Alaska. And, yeah,
If we had rights, we would play that music right now, but just saying.
Not quite yet. We're talking to Angus. We're working things out sooner or later. So, yeah, and Frank, he actually spelled that quite nicely. He said, I feel like I flew to Alaska and got Thunder Fucked.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like it.
So
in a good way.
In a good way. In a positive way.
Positive.
So yeah, what you know, Alaskan Thunderfuck, also known as ATF, Matanuska Thunderfuck, or Matanuska Tundra, is a legendary sativa dominant strain originating in the Matanuska Valley area of Alaska. According to the legend, it was originally a California sativa crossed with a Russian Ruderalis, but sometime in the late 70s, it was crossed with Afghani genetics to make it hardier. So wow. This is a truly universal, intercontinental champion of weed strains.
This is the children of the world.
It's the Randy Macho Man Savage of weed strains, really. It's intercontinental. It's everywhere.
Hands across the world, weed strain.
Oh, yeah, brother. So, yeah, so it was perfect for this week, and it's got flavors that are earthy, sweet, and pungent.
Nice. So, I gotta say it was a fucked up week.
It was a very fucked up week.
It's like real crazy at work. There was a lot of crap going on and crap going around town and traffic, and it was, yeah.
It was fucked up in a lot of ways, but you know what? Friday.
That's why we had a 6-hour après-ski Friday.
But you know what? When you hit that music, we're going to get into what changed the tide of the week from negative to positive.
Oh, yeah.
So there it is. It's ski news.
This did change the mood.
The tides have changed. a basin, Arapaho Basin in the beautiful state of Colorado, is officially open for ski season.
Boom.
Boom, motherfucker.
Winter is here.
Ski season is underway.
Winter came and just went blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Arapaho Basin became the first resort in the state to open for the season on Friday morning. So skiers and boarders lined up early to take advantage of the single intermediate open for now. So there's pretty much one run open, it sounds like.
That works.
But they started making snow back on October 13th, and they have an 18-inch base, which is pretty damn good for mid-October. Loveland, you know, this every year it's always between Loveland and A-Basin who's going to open up first. And Loveland's a little bit behind, and they're saying they're going to kick it off next week. So congratulations to Arapaho Basin. You guys win this year. You are the first official opening. And
this should be a cup, like the Stanley Cup, and they could hoist it over. But like, that's right, we won it this year.
Winners. Back in my high school, we had our rival, like us and our rival district. And every year when we played, we had the milk can game. I grew up in the sticks.
Milk can,
like
damn.
The, you know, like the milk can. It looks kind of Stanley Cup like, really, if you kind of look at the shape.
But it's still a milk can.
It's still, again, I grew up.
Source of pride.
I grew up in a very redneck area, and they painted this milk can gold. And the team that won that game got to keep the milk can.
Nice.
School was like the freaking redheaded stepchild school, so like we never won it. It was like, I think, how long was I in high school for? I think it was 4 years. It could have been more.
Never won the milk can?
I don't think we ever won it.
Damn.
But then as soon as I graduated, we won it. I remember that.
Of course.
Yeah. But and you look back, like, it's funny because at that time it mattered so much. Not really, but you look back and like that was the dumbest thing to really care about.
Well, okay, look at the Stanley Cup, right? Everybody's like, wow, that Stanley Cup, it's huge, it's great. The Stanley Cup is a little tiny cup on top of the gigantic base.
Sort of, yeah. The original one, yeah.
Everybody looks at it as like, wow, look at that. That's a giant trophy. No, the trophy is actually the piece on top, the little piece. Everything else is just who won the Stanley Cup before, if you think about it.
Technically, yes. Yeah.
Which is funny if you think about, like, okay, here's the – if you didn't have the base and you just handed somebody the little cup, you're like, yeah, this is cool.
It's like, shouldn't there be gravy in here?
That's right. It's like a gravy boat.
It's like a gravy boat, yeah. But, yeah, once you tack on those names and – you know what it's, you know,
the pomp and circumstance,
the symbolism to it, and the what was what had to be accomplished in order to achieve it. That's really what makes it so special.
Yeah.
So yeah. So congratulations, Arapaho Basin. Maybe we should have a highfalutin cup, and we should send it to them.
I think we should have the highfalutin cup for the best fan.
I think we gotta give it to the first place that opens for the season.
First place we like that opens.
And that we like, yeah.
First place that we ski.
First place that we go to. You guys win. We're here.
We won. We went, yeah.
You win because we're here.
Exactly.
I like that. That is not a bad idea.
You win because we won. So, all right, next up we got Noah. I love Noah because you know what Noah's saying? Noah's saying there is a 70% of the La Nina phenomena to hit. And they're saying it may fall to about 55% for the winter months. Now, we've been talking about this for a while.
She's back, right?
A lot of talk about it. That's right. Now, we had El Nino last year, which caused a lot of hot weather out here for us in the east. And a lot of snowfall in the west. La Nina is a different phenomenon where instead of the water in the Pacific heating, the water in the Pacific cools. And it's lower than normal, and it causes like a similar but different phenomenon around with the weather. So,
and it seems like with La Nina that the more people get smacked with snow,
yes. Than
with El Nino is very concentrated on who gets the majority of the snow. While La Nina, it's a lot of people.
And usually El Nino has been associated with higher heat in general conditions, mm-hmm. Whereas La Nina is kind of signaling like a different, like it's the opposite, the rebound effect of it. So hopefully it would be theoretically colder throughout. And then when they talk about 55% chance or 70% chance of La Nina playing into effect, they're saying the La Nina effect playing into the weather is at like 70%, maybe dropping down to 50%, 55%. But that means that it's 55% chance that it's going to go into the crazy zone of La Nina weather. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like they have the average weather, and then it would throw off the weather by about 55% of the forecast generally. So if you're expecting 100% of what you normally get for snowfall, you might get 150%.
Wow.
Or, you know, varying in different ways. So they actually do all sorts of stats and forecasts and models and stuff. So this is going to be tracked all year, but it's good to see that they're still saying that this is could be pretty good. I mean,
well, just based on what's happening already. I mean, we're in mid-October, and, you know, I saw a stat today that Jackson Hole has gotten almost 4 feet of snow already. Grand Targhee, parts of Colorado, Idaho, Wyoming, I mean, other parts of Wyoming, they've already got almost 4 feet of snow, and that's unprecedented.
Yeah.
I mean, Whistler, too, we're looking at, they're getting hit pretty hard.
And they're showing, like, so the way they do this is they look at the sea temperature overall, and that's how they determine, like, if it's El Nino, La Nina, what's going on. And if you look at the, you know, the article we have posted, the link to it, it actually shows the plume of, like, this big swath of freakishly cold temperature water right in the middle of, like, you know, the high temperature water that's out there. So it's kind of like, wow, you could definitely see, like, there's some, you know, tonal changing going on there.
Yeah, so it looks, so yeah, originally we were saying, you know, we were talking earlier in the, I guess, late summer that, you know, La Nina was looking good, then all of a sudden La Nina went away, and now La Nina is back. So,
yeah,
looks like a lot of wet weather for the Pacific Northwest, especially, and the Northeast, and yeah, pockets of cold. But, you know, it's looking dry and warm for the South.
Yeah.
But mostly, you know, those really aren't ski-ish areas. I mean, areas even like southern Colorado, northern Mexico, New Mexico.
Florida dry and warm would be a welcome instead of being
muggy
and warm, muggy and crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, it causes two things. You get this, it allows a warm, wet and cold to come in straightforward, but also allows that cold to come down and I guess hit the Gulf Stream or Jet Stream, what do they call it? The Jet Stream?
The Polar Jet Stream, yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe Polar Vortex. Just saying.
You never know. That Polar Vortex comes in.
Loving that Polar Vortex.
We are big fans. We are pro Polar Vortex.
Pro Vortex in this house.
Yeah. So yeah, so more to come on that. But right now it's looking good for anyone in the northern, specifically the Pacific Northwest and the Northeast. For a
is it the Pacific or the specific?
The specifically Pacific Northwest. The
Pacific Northwest.
Yes, indeed.
Cool.
All right, a little bit of sad news here. First avalanche death in Austria. An investigation is underway after a 25-year-old man has died in an avalanche in Hintertux. Another man has survived in the first avalanche death in Europe this season. So this occurred this past Sunday as the pair were touring near a glacier. They were climbing up a steep slope, and the resort was open and had fresh snow. They were climbing at about 3,200 meters, so almost 10,000 feet. When the accident happened, both were swept 100 meters down the slope. Rescue services came in. They dug out the older gentleman, 44-year-old, who was flown to the hospital. The other guy was buried deep, and his body was not located till later in the afternoon.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, they both lived in Tyrol. So, I mean, they're obviously from the mountains. They know, you know, what can happen. But I don't know. It doesn't actually say in here if they had any proper avalanche gear.
Well, that also leads us to believe that we actually having it is one thing and practicing using it is another.
Yeah.
So we're guilty of that because we got to actually practice a little more with our beacons and stuff, do a little run around.
Yeah, we have our gear. We just need to practice a bit more before we get on our way. But yeah, so it's sad news. But again, it's one of those things that, you know, we, as skiers and boarders, everyone has to be aware of what's possible and how whenever, if you are going into any area with lots of fresh snow and, you know, avalanche prone areas, you got to have the correct gear. You got to know how to use your gear because you just don't know when those conditions are going to be perfect to kind of get you in trouble.
Well, there's also the time of year. Beginning of the season, you start getting big snowfalls and nothing's settled yet. So yeah, you got to really wait till everything settles. So you kind of got to be a little bit more cautious this time of year. Mm-hmm. And then later on, if you get like big dumpings, you got to, you know, then you got to be careful too. But I would imagine you should be oversensitive this time of year.
Definitely.
You know.
Yeah. So
pretty sad stuff.
They didn't put the name out of the person who died, but rest in peace and be careful out there. You know, it's a dangerous but beautiful and wonderful sport. So be aware always.
All right. On a happier note, to avoid avalanches, there's a lot of talk going into these indoor ski centers. So there's a huge center that's going to be built in Germany. The town of Wernigerode looks to start the construction of an indoor ski jumping center. Now, Germans love their ski jumping. They're pretty goddamn good at it. Now, we got to start stepping up because I don't see a lot of Americans. I see Austria. I see Germany. I see like a bunch of, you know, Scandinavian countries out there. I mean, this is one of their big events, though, you know, in the Olympics. But yeah, ski jumping, they could practice year-round. That's why these dudes are so good.
Now, I wonder if this is because, you know, we're seeing a lot of these stories about all these areas doing the indoor skiing, indoor ski jumps. I mean, is it part of the, because of the, you know, global warming phenomena, or, you know, are people just kind of looking out down the road that maybe there won't be as much snow, so let's start building inside? I don't know.
I think it could be part of the global warming, but I think it's more so because we have people want to do this, and there's more people that are doing ski sports now, and they'd want to do them year-round. So I think there's more of a market for it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, now there's a lot of people that ski and board. So you talk about opening a facility like this, instead of getting, you know, a few elite athletes that would use it, you're going to get more people, like, you know, they're competing now on a college level, a high school level, or, you know, mid-levels, not just like Olympians and stuff like that. So I think there's a bigger market. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, yeah. There's also more adrenaline junkies these days. You know, they said there's a record number of people trying to do, like, wingsuiting, you know, out in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. There's this one town. And I watched the whole Real Sports on it. It was pretty messed up. But, they, you know, it's at an all-time high because it's accessible. It's not as expensive. It's not as hard to get into it or learn the sport. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, this is why we're pushing the limit as human beings, I think. And you get these people doing amazing things, so.
Yeah, and if you can do it outside, why not just wrap it up and put it inside?
Yeah, I think we have the technology, too. Like, you know, you can have an indoor all-year-round ski area, which is amazing because we have the technology to do that. I don't think we had that, you know, 10, 15. Well, probably did, but it's so much easier to produce now, too.
It's much cheaper at this point, yeah, to be able to do that.
And it's proven and it's safer now, you know.
And it's funny, too, like, you know, as we get more, quote-unquote, sophisticated in our society, the things that are uncomfortable or unpleasant, we tend to be able to get rid of. So I was watching an interview with Lindsey Vonn on Colbert, and she was saying, she's like, you know, talking about skiing, and she's like, I don't like the cold. I hate the cold.
Oh, really?
I'm like, you're a professional skier and you hate the cold? So, you know,
and the ski suit she's in when she goes downhill is probably almost like skiing in the nude.
Yeah.
So you're probably, she's probably freezing her ass off.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that now if you can create this indoor area and keep it at, you know, a little bit warmer, people would be more inclined to do it because they won't be cold.
That's pretty cool.
Us, on the other hand, we've been out there in God knows how cold, whatever.
If you ski in the Northeast, you basically freeze your balls off a lot. And people are like, they're not used to it. Out West, they're just like, wow, you know.
It's not 32 and sunny
yeah.
every day.
Like, oh, it's windy. I can't go skiing. I'm like, well, this is a really good day for us. Like,
yeah.
We're used to like sub-zero. It's just freezing cold.
Yeah.
The worst was Tremblant when I went up there. That was pretty freaking cold.
Yeah.
I heard Quebec is bad, too.
It gets pretty frigid up there.
Yeah, a lot of wind, too.
The way I always look at it, I sit there and I go, you know what? All right, maybe it's cold. Maybe the wind's blowing. Maybe I'm a little bit uncomfortable. But I think about those 105-degree humid days.
Yeah.
And I think about how much I hate life. And I go, I wish I were skiing today. And it helps kind of just put me in a better place and be like, you know what? It is cold. Yeah, but you know what? I am skiing. And that is awesome. And that's what I always think about doing when I'm not doing it, when I'm miserable in the summer.
When you're shoving that coal into the furnace in the basement of that building that they chain you in the middle of summer.
In the gulag. Yeah, absolutely.
Then, you know, you're like, I'm going to be happy when I'm out in the cold.
Spot on, sir.
See?
Yep.
But anyway, so this whole resort, too, it's cool. Like, because we talked about, like, the metal, you know, the Meadowlands doing one. But they're going to have, so they're going to have an alpine downhill slope, cross-country skiing, bobsled and luge circuit, which is pretty freaking awesome. Family zone with sledding, mini hill jumping, ski school, and fun sport areas. So think about that. You take your kids out, like, come on, kids, we're going to go to a ski area. You're freaking doing mini jumping and sledding with them all day. like in the middle of summer. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're gonna have wind machines in there, and you know, all kinds of. They're gonna make wind. It very realistic. To
fake wind, I love that.
Fake wind, yeah.
Have like a Killington ice day with the wind going.
Yeah, right.
That'd be great. Here's what it's like skiing in the Northeast.
Like, you know, they have golf courses that replicate different famous holes.
There you go.
They could have like different days dedicated to replicating the climate of a particular ski area.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
A little steamboat, a little fresh champagne powder.
It's Jackson Hole Day.
Oh, that's when you make the cliffs.
Make the cliffs, yeah.
A little sign that says, don't go over it.
Tommy Moe. Yeah, so cool stuff coming in from Germany. And then one quick final story that we just want to talk about quick. So our pals up at Ski Vermont, they have released their 2017 limited edition poster, if you want to pick that up.
These are awesome.
These are really cool. So every year...
We gotta get one for our studio here.
Yeah, every year Ski Vermont, they do these...
We're doing upgrades. I got to upgrade. I'll get rid of that poster. I like the moguls, but we'll get one of these.
So every year they do a poster, and it has... You know, it's a very old-school-looking poster. It says Ski Vermont, and it's got a different winter... scape on there. So this year it's got a, you know, picture of a dude in like chest deep powder kind of plowing through, and then a person in the background. I think they're kind of jumping through the snow there too. And you know, you got all the powder and the big thick green trees that Vermont's known for. They're really cool posters. They're really nice. They're only $30. They only make, I think, 200 or 300 of them. So you got to hop on there and get them quick. And they have a few from previous years available, too.
Yeah, those are pretty
cool. Some are really, really cool, yeah.
They have the one with the ski area in the background. I'm wondering what area that is.
The 2015 one?
The 2014.
2014.
See how they're skiing down? They have the area. That looks familiar. I wonder where that is. I gotta do some more research, but...
It's pretty awesome.
These are pretty... And then they have the cover. So if anybody's been to Vermont, whether you're in the summer or the winter... They're known for covered bridges. That's a big deal. Like, they have like a online, you can follow your own tour, and it'll take you into different towns. But they have some of the most historical covered bridges, like, ever. And when you go to find them, you think it's kind of stupid, but because I've done it, you know, the whole, you know, when I was married, the whole thing, you know, just going around, like, why am I going here? And you start going, you're like, I'm getting to see some really cool areas. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, that one is pretty cool. It's got like a, you see, kind of the perspective from the back of an SUV with a ski rack on top, and you see the covered bridge in the background, and then the ski mountain even further in the background from that.
That's cool.
So they put out some really cool posters. So check it out, skivermont.com, and they have it in their shop there in the store, which is, you can hit from their top navigation up there and check it out and pick up some posters and support Ski Vermont, which is an awesome...
Support the cause.
Cause, exactly, yep.
Cool.
And that about wraps up the old ski news for the week.
Yeah, so next up we're moving right into our main topic. So what are we calling this, Brian?
We're calling this Whistler While You Work Out. Yeah, so I think we've mentioned it on one of the previous couple podcasts, but...
Yeah, we already spoiled it, so... We spoiled it-ish.
Kind
of teased it, kind of spoiled it, whatever.
So the last couple years, we did our Ski Bum Week in our local hill up in Vermont, up
home
at Killington.
Hill. We'll call it a home hill.
Home hill, yeah, and this year we decided to go all out a little bit more.
This is our new home hill. Who knows? Maybe we'll be relocating there. You never know. Just saying, putting it out there.
Didn't you just buy Mega Millions tickets?
Putting it out there for the world. I'm trying to get remote 100%. If I get remote 100%, it could happen.
Didn't you also just buy Mega Millions tickets?
I bought a few of them, yeah.
There you go. So we're pretty much there.
Pretty much there.
The studio might be moving.
I might have to wait, though, till the offices are closed. It's maybe Tuesday.
Okay.
You know.
We can make that work somehow.
Well, because I got to get it. Then I got to claim it. But I got to go to lawyers first and then claim it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do it smart.
And you got to hire me as a...
And then there's going to be the drunken week or weekend that I do before officially letting people know I won, you know. So
there's some complications.
So about we're talking 3 weeks. You'll find out.
Yeah, perfect. So
I'll still be doing the podcast,
of course, full time,
but with a secret, a deep dark secret.
So yeah, so we are going to do our Ski Bum Week out in beautiful Whistler, British Columbia, and we're less than 2 months away.
Well, Brian's going to go to Whistler. I'm going to go to Blackcomb.
Oh, yeah. Blackcomb Lives Matter.
Blackcomb Lives Matter. Remember that's that. Right.
Yeah, so we're heading out there in mid-December, mid to late December. We're heading out there for a week.
It's our pre-Christmas present to ourselves.
It pretty much is. It's the way I look at it, it's kind of, you know, you've worked hard, you've hustled, you've banged stuff out all year, and this is the way to celebrate. So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to fly to Seattle. We're going to meet up with our boy Nick. Nicholas,
Nick.
Shout out to you.
Nick.
And then we're going to go from Seattle up to beautiful Whistler, British Columbia.
Should we call him Wolf Creek Nick?
Wolf Creek Nick.
Wolf Creek Nick. Seattle Nick.
WCN.
WCN. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. So we're going to have an awesome time up there.
May do a little backcountry. We'll see.
Considering how much snow they have already received out there.
We got to buy our lift tickets.
We have to buy our lift tickets.
God damn it.
I think it's already 12 o'clock.
Damn it.
We blew it.
Might be Pacific time. We got...
Specific time?
Yeah.
We Perfect.
3 hours. Specific time.
So, yeah. So, we're starting to get some information together about Whistler. And, you know, we're going to kind of go over that, what we've got so far. I've been out there already. I was there for a week a couple of years ago. And it was fantastic. I mean, at that time, it was like a dream trip to get out there. And it was...
Well, I got
to
rub it in. You know it hurts me. You know it kills me that I make it out there.
I just want you to know that you...
God damn you.
You've already bought your... plane ticket. We've already got reservations for rooms.
Last time I had it all planned out, I broke my goddamn shoulder 3 weeks before.
Whose fault was that?
It's my goddamn fault in Cortina doing something stupid.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. That's right.
Yeah. So it was awesome, and I'm super excited to get back there. And we're looking at a couple stories this week, and they've already got a couple of feet of snow out there at Whistler. There was a story...
You know, and they have the glaciers, so they're year-round, right? So
they are. Yeah, it gets a little sketchy up there, you know, this time of year because you have some of the summer snow plus the winter, the new snow coming out. But they're saying, yeah, it's looking like January already up there in October.
Nice.
And their official opening date, they're looking to do it November 24th. But everyone is kind of like, yeah, it's going to be a lot sooner than that. And they had that huge storm that came in the Pacific Northwest last week that
dumped
all that rain in Seattle. But yeah. As you got into the higher elevations, I mean, there was like 4 to 5 feet of snow lot of places got.
This week I saw on the forecast like they were getting another hit like that too, where it's going to bring a lot of moisture to like the lower regions. I'm hoping the upper regions got more snow, but they were going to get a lot of rain.
Yeah, they're saying they got over 75 centimeters in the last 7 days.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot of freaking snow. So, yeah, I think we, you know, it's still early and things can change, but it looks like at this point we may have lucked out in our choice of destination as opposed to last year when we had dirt on most of the runs we were on.
We had mud. We had that. The only time I've ever seen it look like muddy... like slushy cream. It was gross. It was like ice cream.
Chocolate mousse.
Chocolate mousse.
It was like skiing on chocolate mousse.
I've heard of like slush and corn. Like there's all these different terms for snow. The only thing that we could come up with was chocolate mousse.
Chocolate mousse.
And it smelled like mud. Like you're on like cold frozen mud. That's like it, the smell. And then it was just like chocolate mousse. It was gross.
Yeah, it was really bad. And
doo-doo. Yeah, frozen
Mac-a-doo-doo.
Doo-doo. Mac-a-doo-doo.
And, you know, in a picture I think I posted last, you know, December. So it was the Friday before Christmas. So I think it was like December 20th around there. And Superstar, the run at Killington, which is the one they usually keep open the latest during the season, the one they're going to be, you know, having all the Women's World Cup events on November 27th, 26th, 27th.
It's going to be good.
Thanksgiving weekend. That run... about a month after they're going to have the event this year, had no snow at all on it. It was complete green, complete grass. So,
you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you're going to say, you know, last year, how would they be able to tell that? This year they're getting good looking of, you know, do they have a weather machine? I'm just saying. I don't know who they are, but I think they have a weather machine. Just saying. Denver Airport.
Audi?
Denver
FIS?
Airport.
FEMA camps, black helicopters.
New World Order, black helicopters.
Yeah, you know what? It is a little... It's beautifully coincidental how that's working out, that it's going to be...
And the Old Farmer's Almanac. Why do they know every year?
The Almanese.
Just saying. Is who is the new... Who is the Old Farmer's Almanac?
Who runs the Farmer's Almanac now?
That's right.
Is it farmersonly.com?
Supposedly, I read somewhere they have an algorithm that's secret, that's been around for years, that they just don't tell anybody what the algorithm is, and they predict the weather. It's crazy.
But is that the same algorithm that Farmers Only uses to match up country singles on dates?
Oh, yes. Farmers, I think it is.
Farmers Only is from Farmers Almanac.
They have Farmers Only Almanac. They sell a paper version where you could just look for people in the paper.
This is all making way too much sense.
I'm just saying. Weird. Just saying, it's suspicious.
Elon Musk is so on to something, saying that we're in a simulation.
He's controlling it from space, from Mars right now. He's on Mars controlling the weather by some beam, tractor beam, that he's heating up different areas and cooling down different areas of the Earth.
Fuck.
The Earth, not the Earth. Earth.
Earth 2?
Earth 2. He's terraforming right now. You know it.
Dude, he's putting up friggin' hot tubs and
casinos
and Applebee's on Mars right now.
Apple stores and Applebee's
and Apple stores. They're combining. Imagine they should just merge.
With Apple cars.
Applebee's.
He's gonna buy it.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he just buy Apple? Just saying. Anyway.
So Whistler Blackcomb. So they're doing. So last year was their 50th anniversary. This year, so I guess they're 51 now, but they're still doing plenty of upgrades to get people fired up and for the season.
So what's Whistler known for classically, though?
Dope skiing.
Just big-ass mountain, wide-open terrain, right?
Ridiculous amount of vertical. I think it's like 5,000 vertical, top to bottom.
That's highest in North America?
I think it's the tallest in the...
North America?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Or maybe top two or three. But yeah, it's super easy to get to.
It's known to
Vancouver
the
especially.
It's known to the future site of the highfalutin ski bum weekend.
Perhaps maybe a studio out there.
I think that's known internationally, not in North America. It's more of an international designation.
I think we can have the highfalutin ski bum west studio there.
We got to have the highfalutin games next year there.
Oh my!
Make
God.
Up our own goddamn games.
Yes, then I could finally have my freaking like. So my dream event is to have the biathlon, like the X Games version of the biathlon.
What's in your biathlon?
So, like, you know, in the regular Olympics, they have the cross-country skiing and with the rifle shooting.
Yeah.
That's the biathlon. I want to have a guy just fucking tearing ass downhill with, like, a friggin' like an Uzi. So you got to, like, shoot targets on the sides as you're skiing down as fast as you can.
All right, how about this? Instead of the cross-country skiing and the shooting, cross-country skiing and ice cream eating.
Oh, forget it.
You stop and eat ice cream, and then you got to cross-country ski again.
Oh, my God. And like,
and you can't puke.
Puking is like negative points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You disqualify. Puke. Oh. Just saying.
You got to imagine you had to bike uphill.
Like, just standing there like, I need a minute.
You got to just cycle uphill after eating a pint of Ben & Jerry's.
While you're eating it.
While you're eating
Boom.
It.
Boom. You have it on a basket mounted. Just eating while you're biking.
Why have a basket? Just have a friggin' feed, like one of those horse feeders.
Oh, like a,
what it's called.
Like a backpack.
Like a feed bag. like a feed bag, yeah. Okay. A feed bag full of ice cream.
And just biking and icing.
Oh my God, Fat Fuck Friday.
This is what Fat Fuck Friday does.
God damn.
All right. You got to tell us about some of these upgrades.
Whistler, they're upgrading, son. So, all right. Improvements to the learning area. So as part of their continued effort to grow the sport of skiing and snowboarding, Whistler Blackcomb will spend $2.4 million to improve the learning areas on Whistler Mountain for the upcoming winter season. So terrain grading, optimizing learning for new skiers and boarders, installation of new covered carpet lifts to eliminate congestion and improve learning progression, and 32 new low-energy snow guns in the Olympic zone to ensure that early opening of the learning area and to guarantee the best possible surface for learning throughout the season. So learning is the key.
Learning,
teaching, spreading knowledge, getting people excited and fired up about the sport.
Well, what's amazing, I keep forgetting how long ago the Olympics were, and they were only 2010. I'm like, I thought they were way older than that. But I tell you what, like, so it's basically a relatively newly used Olympic mountain.
One of the cool things about it, too, is they used to... So what they told us when we were out there is the road that goes from Vancouver up to Whistler, I forget the name of that. I think it's Route 100 or Route 101 or something. And that road used to be like one lane each way. But
oh, wow.
For the Olympics, they They extended it, they widened it, they paved it, and now it's a double highway both ways.
Nice.
So it makes it super easy.
That's cool.
To get up there, which is good if you're trying to get there, but also if it's a powder day and people, you know, calling Pow from Vancouver.
Yeah, a lot of people Seattle, can get up
people
there
will
quickly.
Go up there quick. Yeah, exactly. So,
you're saying Nick said what's like four and a half hours?
It's about four. What it takes us to get to Killington?
About 4 hours.
What it takes him to get to Whistler.
So we could do a share house in Whistler if we lived where he does.
If we were based in Seattle, yeah.
Damn it. I'm going to move out to Seattle.
I was telling you, so last Friday, I was so annoyed at work that I actually was on Trulia looking at houses in Seattle. I'm a giant pussy, though, and I can't make changes and commitments like that. But I like the idea that I have in my brain the possibility that I could. That alone got me up Monday morning.
You watch Mr. Robot. You know, it's all relative.
This is all simulation. Just I watched saying. Gary Johnson say it. You know what? Fuck global warming. We're all going to be dead in a couple billion years anyway, so why even worry about it?
There you go.
Just move. Yeah. All right. So beyond that, on Blackcomb, 13 low-energy snow guns, improved snowmaking infrastructure. They now have one of the most extensive snowmaking systems in North America with a total of 315 snow guns in its snowmaking fleet and 3 snowmaking reservoirs, a total holding capacity of 55 million gallons.
Damn. So they're basically ramping up to be able to blow snow if they don't get it when they get a ton of snow.
Yep.
Which is pretty amazing. So it means they'll probably extend the season like earlier and later if they can.
Yeah.
Because they're almost definitely going to get like the meat of the season, they'll get enough snow, mm-hmm. usually.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Patio upgrades of the Roundhouse Lodge. So that's the lodge you get to when you take the gondola up from on Whistler Mountain. And they're adding a 10,000 square foot heated patio.
Nice.
With 100 new outdoor seats.
Après ski, baby.
Which should be pretty cool.
That's like lunchtime après ski.
Yeah, you're not going to get back out there after
that's a little dangerous. You get out for like an hour.
It's a long way down from there, too.
It's one of those you get out, you do a few runs, and then you're like, you got to get the hell back.
Yeah, and they're adding like a grilled cheese restaurant to Whistler Mountain. Which is
I heard it's like a gourmet grilled cheese thing.
Gourmet
right?
Grilled cheese, you know, I guess that's important. Poutine, I'm sure they'll have there.
Ollie's Grilled Cheese Stand.
A couple of canned.
Well, that's like the food truck. They have a gourmet food truck around.
Why aren't there gourmet snow cats?
Oh, Scorp. Yeah.
Like a snowcat food truck combined.
Dude, you could actually with a snowcat pull like 2 or 3 food trucks behind that.
Dude.
Be like, you know.
Like a train.
Like a train.
Like a food train.
The snowcat food
snowcat
truck train.
Food train. Oh my God. You have like the grilled cheese one and like the barbecue one.
Highfalutin ski bum, snowcat food truck train.
And you just hear like what's that sound? It's like.
Only on Fat Fuck Friday.
Fat Fuck Friday. Highfalutin Fat Fuck Friday.
Every day is Fat Fuck Friday for us. Fat Fuck Friday.
Just like you hear, like, what the hell is that? And like,
Kudo.
And what are we gonna have? The back, the bar cart.
Oh yeah, the caboose.
The caboose.
Bar caboose. The caboose is loose. You gotta watch out.
The snowcat with the bar cart and the barbecue.
That's right.
Oh my God, it's just like cruising around the mountain.
Oh shit, yeah.
Right.
And we will start and end at the yurt.
At the yurt. Yacht yurt.
Yurt, yurt. Yacht to yurt.
Yacht to yurt. Oh, that would be so awesome.
Right, I got to write this. I'm writing it
this
down.
This is important stuff.
Write it down.
All right. So also.
We're going to get some investors for that.
Investors. Yes. We're going to talk to our Piston Bully connections.
Yes.
Can Ski Stores. So Whistler will be introducing 2 new Can Ski Stores this winter season. Can Ski Performance in Whistler Village Marketplace and Can Ski Alpine located in the Hilton Whistler Resort and Spa. So the new Can Ski Performance store is a first of its kind at Whistler Blackcomb, offering tuning services on high precision equipment, professional boot fitting, performance rentals, and a full range of ski hard goods, soft goods, and accessories, including a full selection of kids gear and ski outerwear.
Boom.
Look at that. So much goodness from Can Ski. Awesome. New group functions. Beautiful. Big picture documentary series. This was really cool. We've talked about this a couple times on the podcast now. So this season, Whistler Blackcomb takes a big picture look at the future of skiing and snowboarding in a 4-part documentary series exploring climate change. backcountry access, the state of the industry, and risks of losing kids to technology. The series has been created by Switchback Entertainment and produced with the support of TELUS. And, yeah, they've released, I think, the first two pieces of that documentary.
Really?
Yeah. It's cool, man. We were talking about, I think we had a story a couple months ago when they were mentioning the whole, like, $300 million expansion of Whistler Blackcomb. And a lot of it was just planning for, you know, global warming.
Yeah.
And how are they going to make this place viable and you know, relevant, I guess, in a world where the temperatures are warmer and there isn't the snow and the skiing that there is now.
Well, I tell you what, recently I've heard a lot of talk about losing kids and just people in general to technology. So a bunch of my buddies and I were talking the other day about a yoga retreat. So we know somebody that went on a yoga retreat. They went for like 7 days. It was great.
Wait, yoga or yogurt?
Yoga. We're not on Fat Fuck Friday. Oh, okay. It was yoga. They might have had yogurt, but it wasn't.
If it was like a Froyo retreat, like I would be there.
It wasn't a Froyo retreat.
Sorry.
So they went on a whole thing. And then we started talking about, they know somebody that went on, I think it was a 7-day, no speaking, no technology retreat, yoga retreat, where they couldn't speak and they couldn't use their technology. They said for the first 2 days, everything was fine. They said after the third day, they were out of their freaking mind because they were just like having conversations with themselves because they couldn't shut down the voice, you know, the internal voice in their head.
Really?
And I was like, that's pretty wild. Like, I'll go days without talking, so I'm kind of like, I'm fine with that. But, yeah, I can imagine it's a big problem, especially for when we were in Germany. John and I talked about this last week. When we were in Germany, it's kind of considered rude culturally for them. If you're talking to them, you're at a table, and in the middle of a conversation, you look at your phone. It's kind of like, oh, you're not as important. I got to look at my phone. We do that in this country a lot. Like,
oh, my parents are still that way.
Yeah,
they're very old school German in that
ticked
regard.
Off,
yeah,
like, you know, like offended, and you can understand, like, you know, how some people might take that. But I think we've gotten a little bit more lax with that here. So losing kids to technology is very big. I mean, you see these kids, and they're very distracted by everything. There's so much stimulus around them, and then they have all their little gadgets, and then they're worried if they don't have their phone that they're going to miss their friends and all this other stuff. My one buddy at work said his daughter didn't have her phone, and now kids now for school they actually have to have a phone for assignments and stuff. It's this whole different world. But she didn't have her phone, and she was going to school, and she was like, oh, Daddy, I don't have my phone. He's like, well, what do you need your phone for? She's like, I got to text my friend to see if she'd bring her violin. He's like, well, what does that matter? Oh, I want to know because I got to bring my violin. You know, she has practice or whatever. He's like, so you have to bring yours anyway, so what do you need to text her for? And he just kind of caught her, and he said she was just kind of like stunned, like, I don't know. I just feel like I have to text her.
Oof.
You know, and it's kind of like this rat race. Like, you get on it. Like, you don't know why you're doing it, but you feel like
it's the new normal.
You have to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know. I've been catching, you know, lately I've been catching myself just jumping on my phone and going on Twitter or going on Facebook and looking at stuff and just getting annoyed at everything I see, especially with the election coming up. You know, I follow people on both sides of the aisle here, and these people are like, well, she did this and he did this and she's this and he's this. And I'm like, who are you people trying to convince? Like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to make me choose your person that you're supporting?
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is making me hate you more with all this bullshit you're posting, you know? And I'll just take my phone and just put it away and just try to, I'm trying to be more cognizant of just being in the moment,
yeah,
you know? And it just, you know, you see an awesome sunrise. You see a really cool car. You know, you smell freshly baked, you know, like a steak on the grill. Like, try to just be in the moment and, like, use your real senses that are actually tactile and give you a real feeling and not this just bullshit, just influx of just nonsense.
Yeah.
It's tough because there is, you know, there is a lot of great stuff out there, a lot of cool information, but there's just so much more bullshit and crap and you know, propaganda and advertising and just bullshit that you don't need in your life.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the big concern too is, like, as technology gets better, now they're coming out with almost all the new phones that are going to come out are going to be waterproof. So now you can take them on a ski mountain without having to worry about them getting damaged.
You can keister it too.
You can keister it. So now what's going to happen? Are you going to have your cell phone out now when you're on the slopes? You don't want that because you want to enjoy the day. So I actually have the, you know, this is a part of that whole conversation we were having. And I said, you know, a few weeks ago, I went out to the store, got into the car, drove about a block away. And I was like, oh, I forgot my phone. I was like, yeah, that's all right. I don't need it. You know, but I actually had a mental check down of, am I expecting anything from work? Because it's a work phone. Any calls from work? Am I expecting a call from anybody that's urgent? No, 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 no. And I actually made a decision. No, it's not important. I'm just going to keep going. Went to the store. Wasn't that far away. Hung out about a half hour, and then I came back, and I was away from my phone for a whole hour.
And you survived.
And I thought about it. I was like, that's the first time I've been really far from my phone in a while. And I was talking to my friends, like, yeah, I haven't been away more than 100 feet, you know, 50 feet away from my phone in probably from whenever they remember. They couldn't even remember.
Really?
And it's, if you think about it, you catch yourself like, holy shit, I'm really attached to this you know, technology, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
When we're in civilization, it's not like we live in the middle of nowhere where mm-hmm. my car breaks down. A cop's going to come by. I could walk someplace and call someone. Like, there's ways to get help.
There's lots of people around, yeah.
So it's just, I think everybody needs to look at that a little bit closer.
Yeah, I mean, again, like...
That's why I'm glad they're doing this documentary series.
Even playing video games, you know, like, games, they're fun. They're awesome. I get it. But you know what? The satisfaction of running 5 miles is going to be... It's the way it makes you feel... will always be better than any sort of victory from a game because it's so just fleeting and...
Well, in the virtual
so
reality...
So little was really invested in accomplishing it.
Yeah. Well, the virtual reality, we were playing around with that, remember, a few months ago?
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool, but, you know, we're hanging out by the pool, and then we're all hanging out inside, and then, you know, your sister-in-law is playing around with the virtual reality thing, and it was like, we were spending time inside. It's like, all right, it's beautiful, let's go outside. Like, but we Seriously. Were, like, immersed in this whole little world of, like, wow, this is so cool.
You know? And that's, like, some rudimentary VR stuff, too.
Yeah.
Once it gets to the when it can tap into more of your senses. Because right now, it's pretty much just sight.
Right.
And a little bit of feel and sound. Yeah, sound. So you're getting two and a half maybe. Once you lock in like 4, you know, if you can get like
people aren't
smell
leaving the house. Yeah.
Or, yeah.
And people don't leave the house already for a flat TV and a video game.
Yeah.
You know, think about it's only going to get worse. Well, that's why I like the group function, the WB Plus. So that's like the tracker that tracks where you've been throughout the mountain. And I think what they're actually trying to do, which is really cool, so while they're talking about losing people to technology, they're also trying to make a push to make it more interactive to actually ski, but see your results or connect with people, but while you're skiing. Or
it's like
boarding.
Making a game out of real life.
Right.
Gamification, yeah.
So now, I mean, because that's half of the time why we use our phone or anything on the mountains. Like, oh, we lost so-and-so or we want to catch up with so-and-so. Mm-hmm. If you had an easier way to do that, you'd spend less time with the technology and then just be instant, you know, like...
That's like the app Snow Crew. That's kind of one of their one of their functions too.
We gotta go through those apps again because I gotta get something good this year.
Yeah, we should do that. We should an episode of
See My Life. I got the Alexa now. I got the Echo Dots.
You're living like the chick from Mr. Robot.
That's
the
right.
FBI agent.
Yeah, I like
Dom.
It.
Yeah,
Dom.
You're living like her.
I don't want to think about technology. I just wanted to be there and function.
Yeah. You be an assistant to my life. You make my life better.
Exactly.
You know?
The minute you spend too much time looking for stuff, nah, it's not worth it.
It should just be there. Yeah.
Throw it in the garbage. That's what I'm saying.
Grooming upgrades. They got a couple of new piston bullies, a Whistler Blackcomb, to help improve the grooming process.
We should try to get a view of the piston bullies they have there when we're there.
Maybe when we do a little cat ski in there.
Get a little ride around
a little cat
ski
in.
While we're on the cat ski taking a little ride, you mind if I just take my skis off and go down here?
Has anyone ever cat-jacked?
Cat-jacked? No cat? Give me your cat, man.
Get out the car.
Get out the car.
Get out the cat.
Now I don't know how to drive this thing.
Get out the cat, fool.
You feel like, I don't know how to drive it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, more snowmaking that they're going to be doing up there. They've added, it's part of the Mountain Collective this season. And
The Mountain Collective is going to change, right? Because they're part of it this season, but it's going to be part of their other one they have. The Epic Pass.
They announced, I think, that you can get 5 days out of the Epic Pass now for Whistler.
Oh, for this year?
Yeah, they included.
Okay. Oh, so you get them on both passes.
Yeah, the Mountain Collective one is the one where you can, you get What is it?
Is it three per?
Let's see now.
One of them's three, and I think one of them's five.
Yeah, let me check it out. Let's get the official.
But I think next year it's not going to be part of the Mountain Collective, right?
And correct.
It's
part of just the Epic Pass, yeah.
Which makes sense because it's owned by...
by Vail now.
Yeah.
But yeah, they announced that for...
that Epic Pass next year is going to be crazy.
For 16-17, you get 5 bonus days at Whistler Blackcomb. Boom. That's what they announced.
Oh, they give them free. Nice.
Yeah. And then for the Mountain Collective Pass... you get 2 days each.
Oh, okay.
All the, you know, Alta Snowbird, Aspen Snowmass, Jackson Hole, Alpine, Lake Louise, Revelstoke, Mammoth, Stowe, Sun Valley, Taos, Telluride, and Threadbow.
That's pretty nice.
So, pretty good. So, I don't know. Do we have anything else regarding Whistler?
Early bird offer valid through... November 15th, but there was some pass deal. I think it was the Edge Pass,
mm-hmm.
which is today, the 21st or 22nd. We got to see if we get in on it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it goes up, but...
and one other big positive about going to Whistler Blackcomb is that the U.S. dollar is super strong right now.
30%
against the
off.
Canadians, so you're pretty much getting a 30% off on everything up there.
$10 table dance only costs you $6 is what I'm saying.
Or $7. Well, we're doing maths.
I do six.
We're doing maths. We're rounding up. Don't be so cheap. Jesus, give her a bigger tip.
I tip on top.
That's just the tip.
Just the tip.
My favorite thing about being out in a place like Whistler, again, this is just from the après perspective, is that so the mountain pretty much closes at 4 o'clock Pacific time, which is 7 o'clock Eastern time. It's winter time. It's the NHL season. All the East Coast hockey games are starting up right as you're going to après-ski.
Boom.
And being how it's Canada and they love hockey, it's on everywhere.
Nice.
So there are always hockey games on an après-ski, and it's freaking awesome. So
I just want to know, is there crashed ice on at that time?
They just announced their schedule this year.
We got a contact.
I think I retweeted it.
We got a contact we got to reach back to.
You know what? They need a seniors cracked ice.
You're afraid, aren't you? I want you to try out.
No, because
I want you to get in there and
dude,
I want you
I
to
would
try
crush it. the senior tour.
You're breaking everybody's hip.
The crashed ice senior tour. Yeah, but it'd be like the senior tour is like above age 30.
Vladimir Putin would take everybody out.
Oh, dude, why isn't Putin
crashed
doing
ice with Putin?
That would be great. That seems like a Team America 2.
Right in Moscow, right in St. Petersburg, that's, whatever they're calling it now.
That seems like the plot of Team America 2.
That's right. That's Delta Force.
Vladimir
right
Putin doing crushed ice.
It'd be Delta Force with the KGB all mixed in.
Times Roadhouse.
Times Roadhouse. That's right. No one to be nice. Then no one.
Perfect.
Time not to be nice.
Rest in peace, P.S.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes.
They're going to do the new Roadhouse with. Supposedly, they're doing it Ronda Rousey. Who's coming back? When do UFC she come back?
I think 300? It's going to be 206 or 207. Not the New York one.
300, 398.
She'll be running shit by then. No, yeah, 205 is the big one at MSG, the first time at New York City.
We're going to have to periscope that because me, you, Cody, probably Rem are all going to be hanging out. It's going to be a pretty nuts.
It's going to be pretty much our pre-ski season get-together bash.
It's like our whole ski house, and now our buddy Cody's living in New York, so... it might have to happen. It's like a reunion before we go to Vermont.
It's like a pre-union.
Pre-union. It's a pre-union.
It's a pre-union.
Oh, I like it.
Right? Write that down. That's a good one.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, so we're... I think it's 206. She's 206 or 207. She's fighting Amanda Nunes.
That's not a rematch for her.
No, I think it's the first time she's fighting her. Because Nunes beat Misha Tate at 200.
Holly Holm's not fighting.
No. She lost her last fight, and she's kind of...
wow.
Kind of...
Misha Tate got beat by Holmes, didn't she? I mean, by...
Amanda Nunes for the title. I think Ronda's beat her, I think, two times already.
I was saying, Ronda beat her.
Yeah. And a little factoid, when I was in Whistler last time, again, when the pay-per-views are going on, it's awesome on the West Coast because it's at like 7 o'clock they start.
It's watchable.
It's super easy. It's like you watch it before you go out.
Yeah.
So we found a bar that was playing it, and it was Misha Tate fighting... or not Misha Tate, Ronda Rousey fighting Liz Carmouche. And that was actually one of her longer fights. Went to the third round before she finished it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Hmm.
So, I think GSP was on that event too. It was a big
We're gonna have to do some planning for the pre-union and for the entertainment while we're out there. We gotta get the schedule of everything.
Yeah, it's gonna be early in the season. You know what? I love the early season trips. You know, they're just so nice, especially before Christmas. It's almost like you could be home doing your shopping, all that bullshit, or you can be having an experience, having a real, tangible, tactile experience that you can share with your friends and family over Christmas. And I'm a big fan of that.
You know, it's going to be pretty wild because this is, we're going to be there in December. Now, I've usually not gone on a big ski trip until usually late January. And by then, the Super Bowl is already over. Like, we're talking, or winding down. You're talking then playoffs or whatever.
Playoffs.
This is going to be prime, like, football season and ski season. Like, getting ready for Christmas. There's going to be a lot of energy and stuff going on.
Canadian football season.
Canadian football. That's right.
Was it the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
The
Grey Cup?
Yeah, the other one. Doug Flutie played for them. The
Argonauts.
The Argonauts.
The Toronto Argonauts.
Actually, their Super Bowl should be around then, right? I think it's just before.
I have no idea.
We're going to have to look it up. I'm going to get the whole
schedule. I'm looking it up right now. The Grey Cup.
The Grey Cup.
I know that's the trophy. I don't know when they give it out, though. I have no idea when the Canadian Football League season.
You know, in Germany, they have a whole football league, actually American
they
football
do,
league.
They do, yeah. I've heard about that.
And their Super Bowl, I think, is December, just as a fun fact. We should try to do that one year.
No, that seems like an epic waste of time. We could be skiing then. Why would you ever want to go watch football in Germany?
Because that...
Like, not even like football, like you go from American football in Germany.
Germany to Amsterdam to Switzerland.
To Austria.
And Austria.
Yeah.
But Germany and Austria is right there.
All right.
Drive up.
I can dig it now.
Drive up. We'll see a few castles on the way and just boom, right into skiing.
It's like selfies in the car at the castle.
Kitzbühel. Germany to ski.
Oh. Yeah, well, Kitzbühel's Austria.
Oh, Kitzbühel's Austria. Where's Germany has a big one.
They have a couple down in Bavaria, yeah, because they're kind of where the Alps start.
Bavaria skiing. Have you ever thought about skiing in Bavaria?
I have. Every year, my parents, they have this like big booklet of like vacation places in Germany, and it's always like in the Alps. There's like all these like cool, you know, mountain towns where you can rent a cabin, and they're like, oh, we're going to do that. I'm like, why don't you ever do it? They always talk about it, and they never do it.
Let's do it next year.
Next year.
Highfalutin ski bum with your parents.
I think so. They could sponsor the trip. Even better.
Even better.
Woohoo.
Dude, that's awesome. Your dad would, like, get all the people to get round up the whole crew.
It'd be cool. Okay, so apparently the Canadian Football League is still in preseason.
Preseason?
Yeah, week one.
I guess they play all indoor.
All right. Now, here we go. This is actually it. Preseason ended in June.
Okay.
The actual season starts June 23rd.
Okay. And, so they're mid-season now.
Yes. They're in week... It is their week 17... 18. Week 18 right now.
Their finals have to be, like, December, I'm telling you. I think it's just before the
playoffs.
NFL.
Playoffs. The Grey Cup is Sunday, November 27th. The same... Our Thanksgiving weekend is when they give out the Grey Cup. So there's going to be... So that's going to be a big weekend. It's going to be Thanksgiving. It's going to be the FIS Women's World Cup at Killington. It's going to be the Grey Cup.
Quebec crashed ice. Yeah.
So much going on.
It's either Quebec or they're in... I got to look at the schedule.
It's a month and a half away. Dude, not even. It's like 5 weeks.
I'm going to be in Florida.
Florida. You're going to be having guys with like meth like chasing after you.
I think I'm going to go to Clearwater Beach for like 2 days. Just to get away from family.
Yeah.
So, like, I love you guys. I came down to see you, but after a few days, I'm like, I'll see you in like 2 days. I'm going to go hang out at Clearwater.
Yep. Getting ready, celebrating the President Trump.
I'm going to get a tan and then come back and go to Whistler. Boom. 2 weeks after, I'm going to be in Whistler.
Look at that.
That's how you do it. That's how you get to roll like a boss.
That's the only way to do it. So, yeah, so we're getting excited. We're going to keep following up and, you know, talking a lot about the weather conditions in Whistler. But yeah, if you guys have any tips or any information, hit us up, skibumpodcast.com, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on social media, which you can also find at skibumpodcast.com. Yeah. All right.
Where are we going now, Brian?
Oh, we're going under the ropes,
yeah,
son. All right. So first thing first things first. Again, we are we're Jersey boys here, and we are also fans of the good herb. And there has been a lot of talk, between politicians and newspapers talking about legalizing cannabis in New Jersey. And there was just an article today on NJ Spotlight, and they're saying lawmakers are getting serious about legalizing marijuana in the Garden State. So a whole—
we're the Garden State. We should be—
we are the Garden State.
We're green.
I know.
Garden State.
So a group of senators and representatives have made several trips out to Colorado. Again, it annoys me a little bit. They're doing this on— they're going out there getting high on our dime. Let's be perfectly honest about what's going on here. But they're going out there and they're trying to figure out, like, how can we make this work? Right now we have kind of a delusional fat fuck asshole governor who is extremely against legalization. Reasons we don't know the full extent of. He has some excuse about, his mother died of tobacco, cigarettes, cancer.
Well, let's be specific. He's not against legalization of food, but he's against legalization of marijuana.
He is concerned about it being a gateway drug. Just like sugar and carbohydrates are a gateway drug to being a shitty deadbeat governor, you could say, if you wanted to.
Which is going to go on as, second gastro bypass or something?
He must have, one of those massage envy coupon cards where you get, six punches, you get one for free for all his stomach staplings that he's had.
Oh, man.
But so he's going to be gone in a year. Worst case scenario, if he doesn't go to jail, which could happen with this whole Bridgegate thing.
Usually a lot of governors in New Jersey classically have gone right from office to jail. Just saying.
It's a thing.
It's definitely something with the mayors.
But. And if Trump does not become president, which is looking more and more likely, that means he will have probably no job in the future after this. Because he was probably tying his hopes to getting a nice... attorney general gig or something.
Yeah, some little.
Which hopefully he will never, ever have. Several of our representatives and senators, like I said, have been traveling to Colorado and see how legalization has taken effect and have been very happy and excited about the positive things that have happened and how it can be converted and done in New Jersey. So according to various sources, marijuana sales in Colorado have produced $150 million in new revenue based on a 28% tax rate. And it's created close to 29,000 jobs, led to an 81% decrease in the crime rate, and driven down opioid use by 27%.
Wow.
That is freaking crazy. And those are the same problems that we're having here in New Jersey. It's only a matter of time. And now, on a similar note, there was an article just this past week by the Newark Star-Ledger, which is the biggest paper in New Jersey, and they printed an opinion piece saying it's not a question of if, but when it's going to be legalized in New Jersey. Right now, there's been one candidate who has declared themselves for the election next November, Phil Murphy, and he has been completely on board supporting legalization. So there's been, there was another article about a state representative from Morris and Somerset County, a Republican who's been very conservative on most everything, who is trying to get it legalized for January of 2017, which is, it's unbelievable. It's amazing. He's even saying the governor, he's pretty reasonable. He's changed his mind on a few things. He could change his mind on this if he looks at the evidence. So this has come out of nowhere too. Nicholas Scutari, who they talk about, he's a state representative. I think he's his exact title. He is a state senator from Hudson County. And I've seen him on the local news stations talking about it probably 2 years ago. And they were like, we're going to legalize grass in New Jersey. That's not going to happen anytime soon. That stupid, typical, non-educated newscaster voice. But now, there's been so many articles recently. Yeah. It's on a fast track. You have five states who are voting on it in 3 weeks. And they're saying right now, at least three have a very, very good shot, possibly all five of them. I mean, it's crazy how fast the train is moving in this on this topic.
Well, they're talking about a 28% tax rate is what they're looking at, right?
That's about what Colorado has, yeah.
If you look at New Jersey, New Jersey's ninth in taxing tobacco. Ninth out of 50.
Mm-hmm.
The ninth highest tax rate.
Okay.
So I don't know what a... what is this? This is a pack of cigarettes?
They got to be, what, $12 now? $10, $12?
I don't know. They're saying they get... what is it? Nobody gives... it. The funniest thing is, like, I'm just looking at this. I figured I'd look it up. So they're saying it's $2.70 a pack is the tax on it.
Just the tax.
Mm-hmm. Just the tax. And I think a pack goes for, like, $9 or...
at least that.
$8?
I think they're at least $10 a pack. It's so funny when you see like all those gas stations. They're like, we have the lowest priced Marlboros we can possibly sell.
Yeah, there's like a state minimum.
Yeah.
So they're saying average price per pack, $8.20.
Okay, so that you're not going to find that everywhere, though.
No, I think that might be the state minimum. I mean, mm-hmm. Well, that's average. There's a state minimum, but... oh, here's the minimum price list. Let's see what they say. Oh, they actually have... wow. It actually goes by brand.
No kidding.
The retail price per pack.
How much are Pall Malls?
I would say the average retail price per pack, just going eyeballing, is probably about $7. I mean, we could use $8.20 as a good guesstimate, right?
I remember my first job in high school. It was at a delicatessen, and we sold cigarettes, and a pack of cigarettes was like $2.30. I think,
wow.
I forget if it was like every pack was the same price. And I remember there was like these dudes, like this like old, like Jack Palance looking dude. And he would come in and he'd
Camel
be getting like.
Camel Unfiltereds, right?
Dude, nailed it. Camel Unfiltereds.
Those were the stickiest or the iggiest.
The leather face, you know, probably fought in World War II and, you know, never gave a woman an orgasm. Just doesn't give a fuck. Just.
Give me my Camel Unfiltered. I can't move his mouth too much because his skin is too tight.
And there was one dude who would get Pall Malls. Those seemed like they were like just, like you are, like those are like badass cigarettes.
Badass.
Just smoking Pall. I mean, no filter, no nothing.
No Chesterfields?
They had those.
Those are like the big UK cigarettes, the British cigarettes.
Chesterfields.
I'll have some Chesterfields. We'll feel a little more sophisticated.
Dunhills. That was the cigarette of Hunter S. Thompson. That's what he used to smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Dunhills, yeah.
Dunhills makes some good cigars, too, though.
Virginia Slims. Remember the ladies?
Ladies.
The 120s. Oh, God. They just...
it's bad memories just coming back, right?
Just awesome. And you know what? Like, I never had any desire to smoke.
Damn.
I have only purchased one pack of cigarettes my entire life, and I was 31 when I bought them.
Hmm.
And funny story, since we're talking about our pal Nick out in Seattle, he was living in Minnesota at the time, and I went to visit him. And we went to this bar. Now, before we went to the bar, we were drinking Beam and Gingers for like hours, playing darts, fucking around, listening to music. And he's like, dude, we should go out. I'm like, we should go out. That's a great idea. We're both 9 drinks in. It's perfect time to go out, right?
Exactly. Why stop the party then?
And... now, I had just flown in from Jersey out to Minnesota, maybe about 6 hours before. Been drinking since I got there. We go out, like we walk out to where, like the local bar, and we get there. They wouldn't even serve him. Somehow they served me,
wow.
And I bought a pack of cigarettes for whatever reason. We go outside. I'm like, so.
Start smoking?
We start smoking, and it took me an entire packet of matches just to light one cigarette.
Oh, geez.
Because I was so drunk. And we're like fucking around, whatever, whatever. And he's so hammered, he doesn't know where his house is. I'm like, dude, I've been here for 6 hours. I'm like, I don't know where you live, bro. I'm like, you gotta keep it together, man. Like, we gotta find your house.
He's like, I'm too hammered, man.
He's like, this is my house. And he like runs into the bushes. I'm like, dude, you have a garage. This house doesn't have a garage. At least I know that. So that was the one time we smoked. I think the two of us, we had to maybe shared one cigarette.
Wow.
And we didn't even like really smoke it. It was just kind of like, we just like messing around with it.
Huh.
I don't know. It was very bizarre.
I smoked for about 3 months in college.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. After a while, I was like, yeah. You know, Marlboro Lights, if like the first half of the cigarette, third of the cigarette was like awesome. Like, and then after that, I have the same problem with like a big cigar, is it filters all the smoke and it starts getting bitter and I'm like, this sucks.
It's no white grape gas station cigar.
No white grape gas station cigarilla.
So yeah, we were at the gas station before, and we went to the little mini food mart there. They have
to get ice cream. Fat Fuck Friday.
Fat Fuck Friday.
Hashtag Fat Fuck Friday.
Nailed it. They had, I don't know what the brand was. I don't know if it was White Owl or whatever.
White Owl.
They had grape flavored and white grape flavored cigars.
That's like finding Hetty Topper.
It pretty much is. It's the Hetty Topper of gas station cigars.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, weed is on its way to New Jersey. You know, we're Jersey boys. We always talk about we want to leave. We probably never will. But
well, the question's going to come down to finance, right?
Absolutely.
Jersey is hemorrhaging money in certain areas. They're looking for ways to cut taxes and fund a bunch of shit that they
just raised the gas tax 23 cents.
Right. And now the danger is like there's a proposition. I think it's Proposition 2 on the election coming up of where to allocate it by law to allocate it, because everybody's afraid they're going to misallocate the money that they're charging as part of the gas tax like they do with everything else. Mm-hmm. So they're like, let's have it earmarked. But if you look at what they're charging for cigarettes, they're charging 32% tax on cigarettes.
And you don't see anybody smoking complaining.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, if they do weed, they're going to do way more than 28%.
Yeah. I mean, let's say a third. People will still...
Dude, if you tell me you're going to tax it 50%, I'm still going to smoke it. Maybe not that much, and maybe it's going to be really expensive, but that's fine.
But think about how much less of a pain in the ass it's going to be to get.
Right.
That's the whole...
And you're going to get good stuff.
Problem.
And it's not going to be a gateway, because you're going to be able to get it from a legitimate place where they're not selling you crack on the side.
And that's the problem. They say usually, everybody wants to say, oh, it's a gateway drug, you're doing cocaine and heroin after. The problem is, a lot of times, the only reason it's a gateway is because the person you're getting it from is going to give you something else, too.
Right.
You
know, it's like, on something else, too.
I got weed, and here's a little bit of crystal meth, too. Yeah. And you're like, oh, thank you.
Let's take a little sample of this. You're not going to get that at a legal weed store, because they're not going to have crystal meth.
Yeah. Nobody really wants crystal meth.
Yeah. If you have weed, why would you need crystal meth?
Especially if you can get, like, really good weed.
That's, yeah.
And you know what, too? Like, it's funny. Like, when you talk about, like, high school, it's like, oh, I got weed. And you just think it's, like, this generic thing. And you go into Leafly and you look at all the different kinds of strains. It's like saying like, oh, I'm going to get vegetables, or you're going to get carrots, you're going to get parsnips, you're going to get kale, you're going to get, romaine lettuce. There's like 80 different kinds of freaking vegetables.
Yeah.
That's probably that number. I totally made that up. I don't know how many vegetables there are. There's probably like billions. I don't know. It's the monster right now talking. It's monster and the Ben and Jerry's.
The monster's talking. All right, so I'm in the city on Tuesday. I'm hanging out with a bunch of people.
What city?
New York City. The big city.
I've heard of
that. Big Apple.
Were you paying $1,000 a month parking?
No. But you found some place where they do.
Dude, I got to post that on Instagram.
You got to post that on Instagram.
You may think you're baller. If you are not $1,200 a month just for parking and you have two cars, baller, you're not that baller.
You got to have like a Pinto and a freaking Prius and put it in there. Prius.
Fuck that. You got a freaking Porsche Cayenne for the winter, and you got a freaking McLaren P1 for the summertime.
You got to get an F-250. Park that motherfucker right in there. Nobody has that in the city.
Actually,
work.
Dude, I got to tell you, when we were walking around up there, I saw these giant pickup trucks parked in the street.
Boom. Nice.
And the best thing was, I wish I would have taken a picture of it. It was a giant like F-250
nice.
Parked right behind a smart car. I'm like, just go over it.
Just go over it.
Right over it.
If I don't have enough room, I'm just going to go over that shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're in the city, and we're talking about, like, we're walking on 42nd Street. And the one guy I'm with, he's like, wow, the last time I was on 42nd Street, he's like, we used to come down here to buy weed. And he's like, it was so shady back then. You're just like, what the hell is going on? But it was like, the cops looked the other way. People just looked the other way on everything that was going on. And you can buy stuff on the street. So he said one time he was in high school, goes down with his buddy, and this guy's like, oh man, you want to buy weed? And they look, and there's cops like standing not too far from there. So they're like, they're like, no, it's all right. So they go over, they buy the weed from the guy, and they open up the bag, and it's like oregano.
Motherfuckers.
So they go, they start, like, you know, grabbing the guy, and the cops come over and like, yeah, get the hell out of here. And they're like, yeah, but he sold us, you know, bag of oregano. Like, hey, you shouldn't be buying that crap anyway. So it was funny. Like, they didn't care, but they knew, like, that guy was okay because he was selling crap. And it was just weird. It was a whole weird time, you know?
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't get any of that now.
No.
You get legitimate, regulated, decent stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to be talking to, you know, bad people. Go to bad places.
No bad hombres.
No bad hombres.
No bad hombres. Well, saying too, I mean, you're pretty much cutting off the hands of those drug cartels from Mexico too by doing this.
I like it.
You know, all the money that they would be getting, they have now been removed from the equation.
Do the North Jersey on them. Just cut them off.
Cut them off, yeah.
Cut them off.
We obviously are going to keep tabs on this, and we find it fascinating and interesting. And we're obviously on team cannabis here. So
that's pretty cool.
We're on team cannabis, and we're against team Christie.
Yeah, let's see what the I'm thinking. There's going to be a lot of buzz after this election cycle, like there always is about cannabis, because more places are going to okay it.
Well, five states right now have the chance to legalize it.
California's the big one.
California, they say, is almost a lock-in. Nevada.
But they say the thing with California is it's such a big piece of the pie for, like, commerce and the states that's going to carry a lot of weight. If they legalize it, just the overflow from that becoming such a big industry just for California, because they said it's going to be a big draw commercially for that.
Well, and if they do it, then the whole West Coast has it legalized. Washington, Oregon, California.
Yeah.
The entire West Coast.
And the whole East Coast is going to say, holy crap, they're getting all this tax revenue from it.
And if Massachusetts or Maine legalize it, because they both have it on the ballot this year.
The East Coast is going to start. It's like a game of Risk. You know, once you get, like, you break up the little blockade,
mm-hmm.
like, they all start falling.
Yeah. It's true. And again, people who aren't being paid off and aren't in bed with the big pharmaceutical companies or the tobacco or alcohol companies, if you took a very objective look at it, you will see, like, just like the Star Ledger said, it's not a question of if, but when.
Yeah. I mean,
they're saying that, you know, I think back in like 10 or 15 years ago, they polled the average adult, you know, random sampling of adults in the US, and they said like 25% were in favor of legalization. They said this year it's 60%. People are just, I think all that whole reefer madness generation, that quote-unquote greatest generation, who are also pretty much the greatest group of racists, and, you know, they're the ones who had that sort of mentality drilled into their heads. And, you know, as what happens in life and time, they died off, and that mentality died off too. And people who are growing up born with the internet, born with information, being able to go on Google and hit up scientific evidence and documentation, they can see, you know, this war on drugs was bullshit. It was all a question of controlling substances and controlling people and being able to put people in jail who were opposing the president, particularly Richard Nixon's opinions on the war.
Yeah, I think too, like, you know, we're so far away from when prohibition happened, mm-hmm. that once they started legalizing marijuana, you know, seeing medicinal properties for it and actually seeing that it's not the devil that everybody thought it was, there's medicinal properties to it, and there's a significance enough to say, hey, let's legalize it. And it's been legalized now. I think it's kind of weird for somebody to sit back and say, oh, no, they're going to rescind it. Look what happened to prohibition. You rescinded it. It's still going to come back. Because it was legal one time, you can't make it. It's just like putting something into law. Mm-hmm. You to take something out of law is a really big deal.
Well, look back now when you look at prohibition. You're like, you know, you go to drive down the street and see, you know, liquor stores everywhere, you know, restaurants, bars that are all serving alcohol. And you think, wow, this was illegal? I'm like, that seems really stupid.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to look at cannabis in 20 years.
Well, look at how much of the GDP is based on alcohol. And,
yeah,
and
right?
Not just this country, the entire world. That's mm-hmm. a lot of stuff.
Tax revenue, you know, because it's all taxed very highly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, I think if, you know, people who are on the side of opposing legalization, you're going to look back and you're going to be like, in 10, 20 years, just they're going to be on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, exactly.
So
alternative medicine, you know?
It is. it's, you know, and it's true. If you look at reason why it was banned, it's all based on racism. It started with racism back in the 30s. Well, they were
hidden
saying
agendas. Yeah.
Hidden agendas and racism. Yeah. They said, you know, the blacks and Mexicans are taking this marijuana and raping white women. That's what they're saying in the 30s. And then the whole dialogue changed in after World War II. They were saying, oh, actually, it makes you a pacifist, you know, because the Cold War was starting, you know, U.S. versus Russia. Like, oh, you can't take this. It makes you a pacifist, turns into a pussy. You don't want to fight the Reds, you know. So that's why it was banned. And then, you know, with the Vietnam War and Nixon being in office, he made it a Schedule I drug, made it illegal because that was the tool of the resistance to the Vietnam War. The hippies were smoking the marijuana. Mm-hmm. I can't arrest all the hippies, so I'm going to make their choice, their stimulant of choice, illegal.
Right.
It's all documented now. And now, again, with the internet, with open facts, with, you know, being able to see all the evidence, we can piece it together and realize everything that I know as a kid, I was, drugs are bad. Drugs are horrible. Never look at drugs. But as they get older, you go, well, what the hell are drugs? I mean, I'm popping these pills every day because my head hurts or my foot hurts or my blood pressure's high. These are drugs too. Like, wait a minute. Why are these all classified together as this one thing? Drugs, you know?
Well, now everybody's seeing so many problems with the opiates. I think that's one of the big things too. You see professional athletes actually making a decision that this is my livelihood. I would rather risk it taking marijuana to ease the pain, which is non-addictive and medicinally better for me, than an opiate, which is going to ruin my liver, get me addicted, and ruin my life.
Ricky Williams. He left the NFL. So he could smoke weed.
Millions of dollars he lost. Lifestyle he lost.
But think about all the head trauma he avoided too.
Exactly.
Getting out when he did.
And he came back and he was still pretty damn good.
Still great, yeah. Yeah, now he's, he was on Bill Simmons' show. Any Given Wednesday? You watched that on HBO?
You know, I keep seeing it, but I never.
It's actually really good.
Yeah, I heard it's
pretty. He was on there with Seth Rogen and they were talking Bill Simmons about weed and he was saying, he's like, I don't regret a single thing I did. He's like, I love the way it makes me feel. I love. You know, he's like, I don't want to get into opiates. I want to keep, you know, taking this, and it makes me mellow. It makes me feel good. It actually cures a lot of my pains that I have.
So here's the thing. I know I was going to say most of this for next week, but I was reading an article, and they were talking about psychedelic drugs and the use of them to enhance creativity in human beings and in the brain function. And they weren't talking about, hey, let's drop some LSD. It's the same idea when you talk about, oh, I'm going to get all loopy on marijuana, right? Let's say you take just a little to enhance the creativity. Or let's say you take a little bit of marijuana to help with the pain, but not necessarily get you high as fuck. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you do that, like, it becomes an actual benefit to your body and to your mind and to everything. You know, so it's kind of like this article was talking about. I was like, wow, I never thought about it in that way. Like, I guess it's not such a matter of what you're taking. And if you look at regular drugs, it's the same way. You look at pills that you take, it's about the dosage. If you're overtaking anything, it's bad. You overdrink alcohol, it's bad. You overtake opiates, it's bad.
You take your M&Ms at a baseball game and you pour the big bag of M&Ms into the small bag of M&Ms.
Yeah. But that's what it is. It's the dosage. So if you get the proper dosage, now you're talking about, well, what does that drug do to you as a functioning human being? And I think the answer is it's not bad. You know, it's just a matter of how do you want, you know, people abuse alcohol like crazy, you know, same idea.
But nobody's looking to make that illegal.
Yeah.
Nobody. Because they look at all the tax money that's coming in from it.
Even if you look at charts of like the effects of alcohol. They always say, like, you know, two to three drinks, they say opens up your creativity and lowers your inhibitions and you're not drunk. It's like just before getting drunk, you actually have like clarity. Like, there's a lot of benefits to it. It's just once you go over that, now you get into bad judgment, bad coordination, like all these bad things of it. But if you go just before that threshold, you actually open up a lot of gateways to a lot of like interesting, better, you know, results of having it.
Well, look at right now. I mean, you look at like pop music, what's popular now. And now I always consider myself, I've been a music snob my entire life. And now that I go to this particular gym that I go to, they have this XM Venus station on. Now, I don't know if you guys are
XM Venus.
XM subscribers or listeners.
I'll have to write it down.
XMV, no, no, don't write it down. Write it down and realize it's the worst. It's like the Z100 of
Venus, like penis?
Like penis, but Venus. Okay. Yes. It's like the worst. It's like the Z100 just poppy bullshit nonsense music station.
It's over and over, which is good, with no commercials.
It's horrible. It's the worst goddamn station ever. And again, I have to hear it because I hear it in the locker room. Usually I listen to,
headphones,
to podcasts.
Headphones.
No, I have them. I
listen, all the time. Taking a shower,
they're always
headphones.
In. But I'm listening to podcasts, and usually they're kind of like little, they're talking, so it's a little bit lower, and you hear the bullshit kind of come in. But yeah, it's terrible. Look at music from the 60s and early 70s. I mean, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. Look at the music that happened back then.
Yeah.
When everybody was smoking weed. There was a creativity, a level of creativity and experimentation and exploration that has never been replicated.
Well, music and movies now, if you look at it, they're not coming out on a with the amount of creativity we have in our culture today that has been fostered over the last, I'd say, 10 years. Technology and the ability and the availability for people to explore this. You look at the movies and the music that's getting produced, and I would say there's a larger percent that is just re-imitating the same shit that's been there. Not a lot of original new content coming out. There is, but that's the top 10, 20%. There's like another like probably 50% that is just bullshit, and then there's like really way out there stuff. You know what I mean?
I think to a degree. I think the things that you're going to see, you know, that's mass marketed, you know, to the majority of people, that's going to be the drivel.
It's through a formula. And that's the most of the stuff that you're going to see.
Yeah.
Everything's mass market now.
It is. Yeah, it's because everyone's going for the big return. Everyone wants the big high money return.
The good thing is you see, like, people love independent film now. Those are the ones pushing the, you know.
Yeah, because people are being extremely creative and they're challenging.
And that's helping change the norm.
Well, look at Netflix. Look at Netflix and HBO. Those are the companies that are trying things that are new, that are different, that are experimental, right, that are crazy, that are fucked up. And they're coming up with beautiful, awesome results because of it.
Yeah.
Could you – I remember when I
if
was –
if they didn't have those venues, it would be like more of the same shit. You'd have Goonies 5. You'd have Friday the 13th Part 12. You'd have like – it's the same shit
not
over
even,
and over.
Those were even like – they started as good franchises.
Yeah.
You know, you have stuff like, on like CBS. Like – what's that fucking Kevin James bullshit fucking show? Kevin Can Wait. Oh, look, he's got the sassy wife. Oh, God, he can't do anything right.
Dude,
that's so
that
funny.
Is, but that is Kevin James remaking King of Queens.
I'm sure that's the number one fucking show in America, too.
But I used to watch King of Queens. That's the same show.
Of course it is.
He's a hot wife. He's there. Now
he's
he has
fat
kids.
Dummy. He doesn't know how to do anything. He just screws up.
Same exact thing. And all they do is rehash everything. It's crazy.
Yeah. But now you have like, you know, stuff like Netflix. I remember I was at a
Best
Buy.
That's why people are cutting the cord.
Yes, because the cord sucks. I remember being at Best Buy, and I think it had to be 2000 or 2001. And Best Buy employees were like, I don't know if they were Best Buy employees or Netflix employees. They were like, hey, we have this new product called Netflix. And, you know, what it was at the time was, oh, you know, you pay
the CDs,
10 bucks
yeah.
a month. They send you the DVDs in the mail. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, I love movies. Like, let me try this out. I've been a Netflix subscriber since like 2002.
See, I never did the DVDs, which is funny.
Really?
Just
I
never
loved
got it. I never grasped, embraced the idea. Well, by the time I got around to saying, well, maybe I'll do that, like, and put them in the mail and get them, I was like, ah, fuck, I don't want to go to the mail. They had the red box, and I started doing the red box.
Oh, really?
Because they had it right out of the grocery store. You just get it and throw it back in the box.
Now, see, in 2002, I lived with my parents still, and I lived in the woods. So I was like, I don't want to drive anywhere. I got stuff delivered right to the mailbox.
That is nice.
I got three movies, and the amount of movies I watched, because I was always listening to, like, you know, Opie and Anthony back then, and they were like, talk about, like, again, I hadn't seen The Godfather until I was like 22.
Wow.
It's like, oh, they mentioned Clockwork Orange. They mentioned, you know, Serpico. They mentioned all these, like, you know, Taxi Driver, like movies I'd never seen.
Those are great movies.
Get them all on Netflix. And I'm like, holy shit, these are fucking great movies, you know? And like, it kind of opens up your, you're like, okay, this was really good. I really like Robert De Niro. Let's see what else he did. You know, you get Cape Fear and you get King of Comedy. You know, you find all these weird
King
movies.
Of Comedy is good.
Rupert Pupkin,
Rupert Pupkin.
Cancer, you should get cancer. That's a great, it's a fucked up, it's
a
dark,
lot of good movies
it's a
out
great
there.
Movie.
Yeah.
There's so much good stuff out there. You know, you're used to seeing, oh, Police Academy 5, you know, like all that shit that you just put in your face. That
let's have another Pixar makeover on some of the same shit.
Well,
those are good.
The Pixar movies, they definitely take it to different levels.
They do, but after a while, they kind of get a little, okay, I kind of see.
They get a little hokey, but you know what? Like, The Incredibles is still awesome.
Sausage Party, breaking the limits right there.
Did you watch it?
No.
It, Sausage Party, I watched it. It was, oh, yeah. I felt like it was trying way too hard.
Yeah.
It had some funny moments, but again, it was like, it was trying too hard.
Yeah.
You know? Good idea.
Take your kids to see Sausage Party, and you're like, oh, shit, it's rated R.
Yeah, that's your buddy's wife, right?
Yeah. No, one of the moms that of the neighborhood that he's...
But yeah, there is so much good, cool, amazing, beautiful art being created. And again, I say art, and then you see the regular stuff that's just shoved in your face. Madea's Halloween coming out. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's Halloween's. Like, who? Like, I'm sure it's going to be the number one movie in the box office this weekend. I'm sure it will be.
Some of those are entertaining, though. Like,
and I'm sure people are going to love it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if I watched it, I'd be like, this is fucking stupid.
Never know till you watch it.
That's true.
You sit through a whole movie and be like, you know, that's not bad.
You know a movie really surprised me that I watched in the theater? Jack Reacher, the Tom Cruise movie.
I got a DVD in Chinatown that was filmed. So I saw it and it was okay.
Allegedly.
But I didn't get the full like effect of it.
You know, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it didn't look too bad.
It was pretty cool.
It was a little grainy and it was like a handheld camera, but it was all right.
I saw the grown-up version when you pay money and you go see it in the theater.
Oh, fuck that.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
But yeah, I mean, again, sometimes like the mass stuff is good, but for the most part, it's really just...
There's some movies. You know that movie Black Knight with...
Nope.
Martin Lawrence. I actually bought the DVD. I watched it all the time. Fucking love that movie.
One of my favorite movies, well, I wouldn't say it's like favorite like all time, but underrated film, Nothing to Lose. Martin Lawrence and Tim Robbins. It's like a buddy movie. It's from like the late 90s.
I don't know if I saw it.
It sounds familiar, but I don't know.
I like Martin Lawrence, though.
Martin Lawrence, when he was on, he was hysterical.
It's great. The stuff with Kevin Hart's the new Martin Lawrence now.
Kevin Hart is so funny.
The Get Hard with, whatchamacallit, with Will Ferrell?
Oh, no, that was the...
That was hilarious. The one with The Rock, Central Intelligence, that was funny.
Was that good?
Oh, it was hilarious.
Kevin Hart's stand-up, he's so good. He's so funny.
He's funny.
Yeah.
And then you got to watch The Real Husbands of Hollywood.
I've watched part of that with, yeah.
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 The first two seasons are the best. I actually went through the whole thing. But
yeah, so,
whew.
Wow, we were on a crazy-ass tangent there, huh?
Yeah.
So yeah, so we're very pro-weed is really what this all comes down to.
Ow! Wow. All right, so speaking of...
Stimulants,
stuff to get you, open up your minds. Italy just opened a free 24-hour wine fountain.
Dude, how awesome is Italy?
That is awesome. So now, this is in Abruzzo, Italy, which is a very well-known region in Italy for wine.
Is it near Miscusi?
Miscusi. It's a historic, includes Montepulciano di Abruzzo. So that you've seen, it's kind of like, I don't know if it's near the Barolo region or whatever. I don't know. They have some good-ass red wines, let's put it that way. So it's kind of, all right, so it's the Fontana del Vino, which the Italians call it. It's located in Dora Sarcisa Vineyard in Caldri di Ortona, a town in Abruzzo, Italy, which is about 150 miles east of Rome. So, they said it was actually, put up to refresh the pilgrims along the Camino di San Tommaso, which is a famous pilgrimage route that Italians walk 150 miles from Rome to Ortona to visit the remains of St. Thomas. That's pretty wild. So they built this fountain for them to refresh themselves. They said it's a push...
Refresh yourself!
It's a push-button drinking fountain of red wine. That's wild, right?
This is why I married an Italian, because Italians are just freaking... They have skiing, they have wine, they have epic food. Like, the Italians are the best.
They really are. So he said the inspiration for this fountain came from a similar red wine fountain along Spain, because Spain has a pretty good wine region, along Spain's Camino del Santiago. I guess that's another, region where they decided to, put one of these up. So they said it's going to be accessible all day, every way, the way all wine should be. I'm like, that's pretty badass. Mm-hmm. And they said it's not a place for wine parties, drunkards, or louts.
See, this is where Jersey would ruin everything.
You know, like,
could you imagine if you had like a bunch of like
people hanging out there?
It's girls' night out. There's the wine fountain. Oh,
it would just be so embarrassing. Yeah. Like, come on. But now it's pretty neat. But think about that. So the other part of this that freaks me out is 150-mile walk from Rome to Ortona.
Wow.
As part of the pilgrimage, I'm like, that's pretty badass. That's a long way.
It's like in Breaking Bad. When they go, everyone has to crawl like on their hands and knees,
yeah.
Like the Day of the Dead or whatever, where they go to honor the.
That's an actual pilgrimage. Actually looked it up. They said it's what was it when I looked it up? They said it's the how to describe it. It's the patron saint to whores, robbers, and like something else, and they crawl on
Lady
their
Gaga.
Hands and knees. They crawl on their hands and knees to this actual site, and I'm like, "Wow!" So it was like, they use that for the movie, but they actually said the pilgrimage, they actually go through a whole town.
That's like, so crazy.
That's pretty messed up.
In a way, I find like a lot of this old, those traditions and stuff kind of like stupid,
pagan kind of thing.
Sometimes, though, you gotta keep rolling with that. It's kind of cool.
You know, this is what we came from. We were all pagans at one time, right? So,
well, if you want to just take it to that level, we were all just single cell organisms at one time, man.
But you get to most religions and they have saints or they have, characters in their religion or famous people. I mean, it's kind of like you have these little, icons around, And I think that's where that came from, because it's within that whole weird thing. It was like the it's a patron saint of like death or something like that, though.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a saint, but an icon, almost like a paganistic within the Catholic religion, but a version of the. It's weird. It's this whole weird thing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, even saints, you talk about, okay, so you made somebody a saint. Now they have pilgrimages and stuff. I mean, it's going to be something for Mother Teresa, probably.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. She became a saint,
she was fast tracked.
Fast tracked. And again, when I was growing up, I thought canonization meant shooting him out of a cannon.
Swear to God. Makes sense, right?
Hand to God. I was like, I didn't understand
it. God.
And then I found out, I was like, oh, so they don't shoot him out of a cannon? Because I was always like, that's pretty creepy. I was like, that's not right.
But awesome.
So you put him on a pedestal, but you shoot him out of a cannon first. I always thought about the circus where they're shooting him out.
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know why I thought about that, but
when I think of cannons, I think of that old video of that fat guy having the cannonball shot in his belly.
Yes.
And he's
slow-mo.
Like against that, like, yeah, that whatever tarp or
the guy, the fat Fred Mertz.
Yeah. Fat Fred Mertz.
Fat Fred Mertz getting shot by a cannon.
23 Skidoo.
Hey, Ricky, I'm going to get shot by this cannon.
Bam. Yeah, weird, like Whistley would do.
That's right.
Ugh. Yeah. All right, so next up, we got a cool little story here. So, Van, I don't know if you guys are a cyclist and have heard of this company, Van Moof. I know you're a cyclist, Mario. I don't know if you've heard about Van Moof.
No.
They're an Amsterdam-based cycling company. And
I need to go to Amsterdam to see them.
You know what? There's really no other reason to go there. You see the Van Gogh Museum?
Oh, of course.
Van Gogh. And to go visit Van Moof.
That's right. And bike ride.
And bike ride, of course. Yeah, I love the pictures of showing that their train stations with all the bikes there.
Oh, Vice did a whole thing, like they have a problem with parking bikes.
Yeah, the parking is insane there. So what this company, Van Moof, what they did was they had a problem where they would ship their bicycles in regular boxes to their customers. And their goal was by 2020 to have 90% of their bikes purchased online. So that involves shipping them to their customers. The problem was they had a lot of bikes that were damaged during the shipment process. So, again, these guys are very creative, very clever. What they did was they changed their packaging to make it a flat screen, look like a flat screen TV. So the box had like a picture of a flat screen TV on it so that the people who were shipping it
would just kick it around,
would be way more careful with it.
Nice.
And they said what happened was their shipping damage dropped 70 to 80%.
Wow.
Freaking awesome. So this is kind of like their like little kind of coming out. They posted this past week, letting everybody know that this was kind of what they were up to.
So now they're going to be like kicking TVs and throwing them. Like, oh, that's a bike in there. Don't worry about it.
Maybe. Or maybe people are like, you know what? That's just, you're an awesome company. Like, you think cleverly. Now, I don't know. I don't know how they came up with this idea. But perhaps it was the cannabis culture in Amsterdam that allowed them to think creatively.
Outside the box.
To come up with a solution. Outside the box. Inside the box. Different box.
Different boxes. Boom.
Different boxes.
Crazy.
Awesome, right? So big shout out to VanMoof. They're the ones who created the Boncho, which I purchased from them on Kickstarter back in April, which
bike
is the
poncho?
Bike poncho. So it's a poncho that goes over your handlebars. So you become one with the bike pretty
really?
Much. Really? This one covered bit.
Full poncho.
I'll be perfectly honest. You look like a total asshole when you have it on.
Is it comfortable?
Keeps you dry.
Boom. That's all you eat.
That's the most important thing.
Kind of what a poncho is supposed to do.
Keeps you dry.
Fully functional.
To VanMoof. You guys are awesome.
I'll raise a drink to the VanMoofs.
Cheers.
Like Tommy.
Fat Fuck Friday.
Hashtag Fat Fuck Friday.
Oh my God, this has been so bad.
We should have had Chris Christie as a guest.
My heart's going to explode. I really think that.
All right, next we got Uber's ad-toting drones are heckling drivers stuck in traffic. So Mexico City has an interesting thing happening to drivers. They're stuck in a ton of traffic. Mexico City's like brutally crowded, like just in general.
Crazy high elevation too there.
Yes.
They're like almost 7,000 feet above sea level.
It is a crazy city. Like it is world's largest city, I think they still are.
Population-wise, right?
Population-wise.
Yeah.
There's stuff built on top of stuff. It's just a unique culture. Can be dangerous. They do a lot of kidnapping there, but it's just such a huge...
Allegedly.
A huge
taken
city.
Three? Taken four?
Taken four. So, actually, John, our buddy, went to Mexico City a few times for work. He said they used to have a car pick him up. They used to go, works at a big real estate company, used to get in like a beat-up Toyota Corolla to go out, get into the loading dock, get in there in the car. They wouldn't walk outside. And then they'd leave with an escort, and they were all beat-up, crappy cars. And they would go drive through town because, like, no, if you're like in the movies and like the big SUV, they're like, oh, yeah, those are the guys you want to steal. And then they hold them for ransom for their company. This is a crazy thing. But anyway, getting back to that. So if you're in Mexico City and you're stuck in traffic, they actually have drones now, Uber drones. So this is part of Uber Pool that is their push into markets across Latin America. So,
which is not the sequel to Deadpool.
That's right.
Not Uber Pool.
So they're saying they do more business in Mexico City than any other city it operates in. And
really? Uber's, that's like his number one place?
Mexico City.
Wow.
And Brazil, its third largest market after the U.S. and India. So Mexico City by far is bigger, is the biggest thing.
And they obviously have no drone laws down there.
Right. So what they do is they actually fly drones in traffic that hold up signs with ads on them. And it is fucked up. So here you are sitting in traffic, and these goddamn drones are driving around with these little signs that say, hey, you know, why don't you buy this or do this? So they're saying...
They're just mocking people.
They're saying it basically involves accosting drivers in gridlock with a swarm of drones. So...
Yeah, the messes are like driving by yourself. This is why you can never see the volcanoes.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, they're just fucking with people. That is beautiful. That is so funny.
Oh, that's crazy.
Just they're pretty much trolling people in real life.
Yeah, and it's not even like just ads. They're just like just fucking with people.
Yeah.
They're putting sayings, they're putting like
you have a job, dick.
Oh, it's crazy.
Why are you working?
It's like, now I want the eagles that they've trained from, where was it, Norway?
I think it was Denmark or Norway, yeah.
Denmark, come in and just swoop in and just start eating these things.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty funny. The picture is hilarious.
sitting in traffic, pissed off, and this drone is fucking with you.
Got it. Think about it. You're sitting there, and you know it. You know the drone driver's like, I'm going to fuck with this guy. And he's like, going in front of you, going back of you. Ha, 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 guy. Like, why do you bother me every day? You see my car? Don't bother me.
It's a 96 Ford Mustang. Come on, man. Life's already fucking me in the ass. Why you got to mess with me, too?
Come on, man.
All right. And then our final story of the week. Did you know, Mario, that America has a 1.2 billion pound of excess cheese problem?
I had no idea until seeing this article, and I'm like, holy shit, we got any more cheese.
Dude, I mean, I like cheese.
Everybody's fucking lactose intolerant now. Come on. Just push through your lactose intolerant, be an American, and eat some goddamn cheese.
Goddamn. So as of right now, there are 1.2 billion pounds of cheese sitting in cold storage.
Hashtag Fat Fuck Friday.
So if we wanted to patriotically eat through that surplus, every man, woman, and child would have to grab an extra 3 pounds of cheddar Swiss and or provolone and start gnawing.
Hashtag Fat Fuck Friday. Fat Fuck Friday.
Damn so it. The average American already eats 36 pounds of cheese per year.
Damn.
That seems humanity. Like a lot of cheese.
I don't think I eat enough cheese on stuff now that I look at this.
You got to step your cheese game up.
I got to step it up. I got to eat more nachos with more cheese. Double the cheese on the nachos. Get double cheese on the cheeseburgers.
Dude, pulled pork nachos. So good.
I'm going to go, just to support this whole initiative, I'm going to get this next week, I'm going to pledge. Okay, I'll just do the weekend. Football weekend. This weekend, I'm going to eat everything with as much cheese as I can.
So what's happened is that the cheese surplus has caused the price of cheese to collapse. Great for cheese lovers, terrible for producers, whose income has dropped 35%. I am here to pledge that I am going to make dairy farmers' lives great again.
So Randolph and Mortimer Duke are short-selling right now.
They're out of orange juice, and they're into cheese. They're
short-selling the cheese.
Right now. So to help ease the pain, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has offered to buy up to $20 million worth of cheddar cheese and distribute it to food banks.
Wow.
This is the second such purchase in 3 months.
Dude, this is like depression kind of shit. That's what they used to do.
But it's like opposite depression. It's like we have too much awesomeness.
Yeah. Well, the depression, they used to buy stuff. Like they used to dump out milk because the price was going down because there was a surplus.
Government cheese.
So they just dumped the surplus out, which is fucked up. But they're trying to keep the price up.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing. They're flooding it out to same idea, which is...
So here's where it comes from. Okay, so what happened was in 2014, China was growing rapidly. Its middle class had more cash to throw around, and people started buying more and more milk, particularly powdered milk from the U.S. Dairy profits soared. Producers decided to expand, buying more cows and churning out more milk to meet what they hoped was a skyrocketing demand. The boom in milk production has been aided by relentless consolidation in the dairy industry. And then came the crash. China's economy has slowed. Milk demand has dropped. At the same time, the European Union decided to lift domestic caps on milk production, increasing supply as well. Then Russia supplied sanctions on foreign cheese in retaliation for Western sanctions. Meanwhile, the stronger U.S. dollar meant the American dairy farmers had a tougher time exporting their products. So it's a perfect cheese storm, it apparently looks like.
Wow. You know what's amazing? They're saying in the article, the median dairy farm had 80 cows or fewer. Today it's about 900.
Fuck.
So that's a combination of cow farms like consolidating together and just people upping production. That's crazy.
See, fucking China.
In China.
They're ruining everything.
Dude, this is like the whole currency war thing. The whole currency war scenario, too. They're just doing it with products, with commodities.
Yeah. They should have done is said, fuck the cows and buy Bitcoin.
Frozen concentrate oranges.
Frozen concentrate orange juice and Bitcoin. That's the highfalutin mutual fund right there.
That's right.
Yeah. So we have apparently a huge, massive surplus of cheese.
Well, they're actually saying it's the milk. They're saying they're going to produce a record of, 212 billion pounds of milk. That's crazy. I don't know how much we consume, but they're saying it's a ton more than we're going to...
And you know what? All we want is just two bottles of Cambodian breast milks.
Well, I guess they're saying since they have such... Yeah,
nothing? Come on, man. Breast milks.
So I guess the cheese is the result. Since they have so much milk, they're making cheese out of it because it stores longer and...
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Just keep it in a cave and make some, like, epic...
We could be the cheese capital of the world.
Cheesemongers.
Just make, like, the dried cheeses and stuff like that. Those last a long time.
All right, here's an idea. What if we have all this extra cheese and somehow we can create an artificial mountain and ski on it?
Cheese.
I'm skiing on a sort of fresh pow.
Fresh cheddar.
Fresh prov. Fresh provolone, bro.
Prov, man. Wow. Right? Think about it. You fall. You're like, oh, let's make a fire. Who has the tortilla chips? And just boom, you dip it like, right in there.
Or you're skiing. You're like, oh, fucking avalanche. Like, you have a torch. Like, oh, we got fucking nachos. We got fondue.
Which one of your hombres brought the chips, man?
Fondue avalanche.
Fond
avalanche. You can have a drone drop chips down for you.
Oh, boom,
dude.
You have the Tostitos guy everywhere.
Cheese mountain.
Cheese.
Have a. You could have like. The Seven Peaks, you have like the Mozzarella Mountain, the Parmesan
peaks.
Mountain,
the Seven
Provolone
Peaks
Mountain.
It's a sea of cheese.
Imagine those TGR videos where they're just skiing in cheese.
You know they're going to come out with like a cheese spa where you just like dip yourself in like a whole fondue.
And you know what? So, you know, after winter, it's always a bummer. Instead of mud season, it's fondue season.
I think we should up our game. This ski season, we dedicate always one theme. I'm going to throw out there, not the official theme, but I'm going to throw it as a possible, more cheese. This I don't know what you call it. More
queso?
Cheese? More queso?
Queso?
More cheese season?
Cheese?
Much cheesier season? I don't know.
Cheesier?
We could work that out, but...
Yacht to yurt.
It'd have to be a real dedication. We'd have to push through a lot of cheese. And
fondue hot tub?
Yeah.
Fondue hot tub.
Fondue you. Fondue.
Fondue ya.
Fondue, yeah. I will play around with that, but
we're working on it.
Could be a cheese time of. We might have an eating theme for the season. We usually have a ski theme for the season.
Remember fucking acid rain? That bullshit they fucking fed us to.
I think it still kind of goes on.
Nah, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Acid rain.
No acid rain.
I remember like as a kid worrying like the rain's gonna fall and like melt my house.
It's gonna melt. We were worried about everything growing
everything.
Up.
Everything. They fucked with us so much.
Well, now the worries are coming back with about like nuclear wars and stuff like that.
They just want to keep us scared and fuck with us.
Yeah.
That's all they want to do.
Putin's like, built. I don't know.
Dude, Putin's got a fucking rectal volcano bong. He's fine. He's chill as fuck.
I just want to play ice. I want to see him play ice hockey against somebody that just
he's
checks
amazing.
The fuck out of him. That
he's amazing.
Checks him into the boards.
Could you imagine, too, if Putin was really just like super chill, like nice guy, and it's just like all the Western media just needing an enemy and like vilifying him?
Could be.
Like, he did nothing, and we're just, like, making him out to be this asshole.
According to the Brooklyn
Bridge...
Does
he even exist?
According to the Brooklyn Bridge, he's a peacemaker.
I've heard that rumor as well. I love the one Photoshop this week. They were showing Putin and Trump, like, horseback, like, both shirtless. Together on one horse.
Together on one horse. Beautiful. That's awesome.
I don't know, man. All we're saying is just question things. Don't take everything you're given at face value.
Do not obey.
Do not obey. Do not go quietly into that dark night.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think with that, we're going to end this glorious podcast. This was a long one. And thank you guys so much for sticking it out with us. We had a good time doing this one, though.
It was fueled by cheese and weed. And
there was a lot of things fueled
by a lot of
this.
Other tangents.
Yeah, a lot of positive, happy things.
Positive, happy thoughts.
Positive, happy thoughts,
like
man.
My buddy. Bob Ross. I love Bob Ross.
We're going to paint a happy little tree.
A happy little tree over here.
Happy little tree right here.
He's got a little friend. He's got a little bush over here.
I'm not wearing pants. It's okay. Everyone's having a good time.
Bob Ross. I wish he's still alive.
So thank you guys so much for listening. You can check us out at SkiBumPodcast.com. You can check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, or Twitter, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, Instagram. Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. We're also on Pinterest as Highfalutins. Thank you guys so much for listening. It's been a great time. We will see you guys next week.